Is it supposed to do the whole page over again?
No, it's we're live, buddy.
Oh, I'm not live yet, are we? This is ridiculous.
Yep, we're live, pal.
On the Facebook?
Yes, pal.
What the fuck happened? I don't even know what happened. I'm not on the page anymore. I don't understand this. No, I don't understand
this.
We're live,
right,
but I'll take your word for it. If we're live, we're
live. We're live. I just don't understand how you don't understand that we're live.
Because I'm no longer on the page. I don't know what happened. This is ridiculous.
No, I am watching it. I'm looking at it in front of me and to the right of me. I can see it. You're just giving a thumbs up because there's probably a delay.
Natsuki.
Okay, there we are. We're good.
Got some fig purchases and some raffle winnings to let you know about.
Oh, do you now?
Oh yeah, big time stuff.
Goddamn.
Actually, you know what? Actually, one of them was a bit of a disappointment.
But for who?
I had to do it. I couldn't believe I never had this Mr. Perfect Series 3 yellow tights Hasbro.
Okay.
Never had it. Bought it on the live major pod show. Terrible shape. $60. I'm throwing it away.
Wow.
Yeah, spontaneous eBay buy. I got the Legends 8 Jake Roberts for our past guests of the pod.
Which one?
I'm not sure which one the Chase is. The Chase is the green, right?
Yes, I believe so.
I got the regular. $25 from Hummer. Not bad.
With the purple?
Purple.
Nice.
But, you know, I needed them for the past guest Mattel's or whatever figure collection, even though I already had the Hasbro. And then I win a raffle. No, I want to talk about this on the show, actually.
All right. Well, Kevin wants to talk about all this on the show.
Which I guess we're kind of doing already. But
we are. We got a huge show. We got Vince Averill from We Watch Wrestling joining us. We got Papa Shango was on Monday Night Raw. Yes. Or at least his voodoo was. Tons of New Japan.
Oh boy, I could see. I could see your eyes beaming right through me.
A big week for AEW. I just finished watching Ring of Honor. We got new tag team champions. NWA might be coming back. We got a lot. We got a lot, and it's all next episode 522, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast here on Facebook Live, in your podcasting ears, wherever you listen to podcasting, and if you're live on the rant, thanks for listening to us live.
Thank you.
Someone should have cut me off a while ago.
No, you're fine.
Following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, I got this mark coming up to me when I'm trying to leave this place. I've made God knows how much money off of these fat losers on merch money, on my fee. And right now you are listening to just another reason why I get paid as this guy hands me a 50. My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you and you know it. And you are listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, unfortunately.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You're a fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Welcome, everyone, once again to your Monday Night Delight. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, coming to you live on the Facebook Live, coming to you to your ears live on the rant, rantiumradio.com, and coming to you in podcast form, because who doesn't like to take us with them wherever they go? But of course, as you know, for 522 episodes now, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevin. Oh, baby.
What's going on, boys? How you been?
Choking on margarita and water.
Look at you. That's how I start every Monday, Matt. So choking on margaritas and water.
I don't know. It's got, maybe there's a lot of cat dander up here.
Dander?
I got fucking two cats running around like maniacs in here.
Well, what is dander?
Like their fur.
It's like their fur and their dead skin cells and everything else that falls off of cats.
So is it like what's good for the goose is good for the dander?
I hope not. You know what? Okay. Rando piece of, it looked like deer fur in my driveway when I came home today.
Are your cats hunting deer?
My cats don't go outside.
Ooh. Is a deer spying on you?
That poor cat. What the? Oh my God. I just thought you whipped a cat like that. I didn't realize you threw something at the cat.
I didn't throw
Matt
anything.
Literally
at the
just
cat.
Launched a cat a football field's length away.
I didn't launch. Now she thinks we're playing.
Oh no.
Oh wait. So you threw something at the cat. You didn't throw the cat.
I swiped her with this monkey pillow.
See, right? Like, I thought you just fucking yeeted your cat out of the room, dude.
No. Yeah. No, I've been here since like 4 o'clock. I put a bunch of new pictures up behind me. I watched a bunch of wrestling. No sign of the cat.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
I set up. I get my margaritas. I get my water. Here she comes. Now she was all over me like white on rice.
I'm telling you, man, they know when you record a podcast. They want to be, listen, they want the rub from the Shining Wizards.
Nelly's getting the rub. Bergman is sharing fucking cat butthole cookie cutters on Twitter. This reminded me of Nelly because her butthole's always on the screen. Ironically enough, Kate used said cookie cutter and made cookies for Christmas for me of a cat butthole.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
She Same made cat. All right, first of all, we have a name for the show, Cat Butthole Cookies. Second of all, she made you cat. Was there any filling for the butthole?
No. It's just the shape of it's like the back of a cat with his tail and then a little like star where the butthole is.
Out of all the buttholes, would you say that the cat's is the most noticeable in animals?
I was gonna say delectable.
No, I'm not. We're not eating cat butt, Tony.
No.
Ew. Apparently, Matt did for Christmas.
That's true.
No, you know what? I never ate a single cookie. Rhiannon ate all the cookies.
Wow. Oh, that's how Rhiannon gets down.
Just threw her right under the cat butt.
Do I look like?
Would you say that the cat butthole is the most noticeable?
If you're talking
most...
about a domesticated animal, then yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Tony, can you think of another butthole? More pronounced.
Before he answers this, I just want you to know.
Okay.
You literally just threw him the biggest softball in the air. Don't be disappointed or disgusted with whatever nasty, fucked up thing Tony says to answer your question.
Well, if we're saying domestic.
That's a very good point, Matt. Damn. All right.
Probably not. Like a deer would have the most exposed butthole, no? Because they got that little fuzzy tail that stands straight up.
Mm. What about a rabbit?
Yeah, but rabbits are usually sitting down kind of like when they're like stopped. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I feel like rabbits are very gentle poopers.
Yeah, but they like to fuck, so.
Well, I mean, they're rabbits.
Maybe everything's loose down there. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's how you make babies, Tony.
I wonder how many rabbits make a mistake and just fucking go to town, you know?
I think they're smarter than that.
They must be. There's hundreds of thousands of rabbits popping all over the place all the time.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a great start to the show.
Always.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of rabbits, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Come on, Matt. I want to shout out Matt for this beautiful, beautiful Owen Hart shirt that I got for Christmas. And I totally, it was in like a box that I totally forgot. And when I found it, Matt, it was like Christmas again. It was incredible.
I know that feeling.
And I am super stoked about it. I'm got my pink and black Zubaz, got my Calgary Flames hat. I'm all Calgary'd out, baby.
I've got my dropped pie shirt. So I'm repping Mikey tonight. I see assholes representing fucking Switchblade Jay White over here.
Again.
Fucking douche nozzle.
You like the poster? Look at that right there. Ah, it's
beautiful. Yeah. So what do you got back there, Matt? For those not watching, you have, I see you changed the background. Tony, did you change your background?
Yeah, I always do every week.
Okay.
Well, I had this. So this I've won. This is now my room. This is my wrestling room. And I got rid of, I packed up all my bobbleheads for the time being. And now there's all wrestling figures and wrestling stuff on this side of the room, and Rhiannon hung up a bunch of my wrestling stuff that was in the closet, even that goofy Iron Sheik thing that Tony gave me that I never in a million years would hang up, but she thought I wanted it hung up, so she did. So I got this Switchblade poster from Pro Wrestling Tees, and I went out and got a frame for it, and then I have all these 8x10s, so I said, oh, let me hang some of these 8x10s up. So up top there is a Hulk Hogan from like my first ever wrestling show that I went to. That's like a 1984 Hulk Hogan 8x10.
Wow, did they sell that there or did you go with that?
No, I think they sold it there. It says 9th WWF champion on the back or on the front. And on the back, either someone signed it or someone made a fake autograph. The Flying Irishman. I don't know if that's a real person.
That's right.
Sounds about
right. Yeah, that was right. That was Hulk Hogan's opponent that night, Matt.
Underneath that is a Juice Robinson autograph.
All right. Juice Robinson right under the Hulkster.
Behind my big head is an Adam Cole one.
Do you see that?
To the left of that is a Hangman Adam Page. Above him is a Chris Jericho.
See that?
And then that is the franchise Shane Douglas up there.
Star-studded roster.
Well, I have a lot more, but like I have a Macho Man one, but it's not 8x10, so I wasn't gonna bend that. I gotta get a bigger frame for that. But I all have them in the book. But now that I have the room,
that's gonna be Matt. I'm telling you right now, with the stuff that you have, that I know that you have, and the stuff and the space that you now have, this could be one of the most epic, like wrestling tribute rooms of all time. Like you could be like the Conrad Thompson of this. Oh well, I mean of our. You know,
not even
gauge, I guess you can say.
Come on, you got much more shit behind you than Matt's displaying right now.
Oh, you just started.
When you get yourself started, it's hard to stop. Hey, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Sure.
We have a guest tonight, don't we?
Yes.
And you want to tell the people who's going to be calling us?
Yeah.
Vince Averill will be joining us from the We Watch Wrestling podcast.
We Watch Wrestling.
Very funny guy. Many mutual friends in the old comedy biz. So I'm looking forward to talk. Oh, he's right here. Oh,
looking forward to him. He's right here with us.
Look at that.
Yo, what's going on?
Vince, how are you?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Good. We were actually just talking about our backgrounds.
Okay.
You might have the most wrestling background ever.
How's that?
Tony didn't announce it yet, but we're doing the Valet 32 Shining Wizards tournament. And
okay.
That looks like it could have been a pattern on maybe like a Velvet McIntyre.
Reaching here, buddy.
Am I?
I'm not totally sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's talking about either. First of all, Velvet McIntyre is not a valet. She's a wrestler. So.
Oh, my apologies. I forget. You know what? The valet wrestler thing, there's a couple women in this tournament, Tony, that cross.
A couple? Okay. I'd say close to half of them, actually. You're talking about like women, especially involved in WWF, you know, like around the Attitude Era, they made them wrestle every other week. A lot of them should have never wrestled.
But we're completely off the rails already. But this is Vince Averill, We Watch Wrestling podcast at We Watch W podcast on the Twitter machine every Wednesday, 3:16 a.m. It drops him, Matt McCarthy. It is quite an entertaining podcast. I highly recommend you check it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And they are.
I'm stoked to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I understand you do another podcast Monday nights, right?
Yeah, I have a show called Monday Night Beers now, which is just the Monday night beer drinking session that we were doing anyway. We just decided to put it to start recording it, but it worked out. We did it yesterday, so it's Monday when the people listen. It's Sunday when we did it this week. It's perfectly good.
And that's depending on how many beers you drink, it doesn't matter if the listeners are playing along.
That's right. Any night of the week will do.
We are also drinking.
I would say though, any female in the Attitude Era, you know, wrestling, that's a bit of a stretch. You know what? Like a lot of times, right? It was a lot of pillows and a lot of lingerie and things that, not a lot of holds, but yeah, it wasn't a great time for ladies in wrestling.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, it got more ladies involved in the business, but do we dare say not probably for the better? I mean, it eventually turned into, like, Trish Stratus started as a valet and was total, you know, eye candy, this and that, and ended up being arguably one of the best female wrestlers of all time. Lita started the same way, even though she started prior to that as a wrestler in ECW. So you can kind of make the case for both, no?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there was some wrestling, like certainly. I just mean generally, like not as we think about it now. Not in WWE. I mean, there was obviously Japan. There was women wrestling at a level that's beyond maybe even what we're seeing now here. But yeah. But I'm sorry. So you when I hopped on and I apologize. Maybe my audio didn't click in correctly or whatever. But so you were talking about my wrestling background or my.
He literally meant what's behind you.
Oh, got it. Okay, yes, very, very trippy. Not intentionally so, but yes.
A lot of birds and flowers.
No, I like
it. Yeah, it's cool. It's weird. but yeah, I did see the. So you haven't announced it, but I there you did put the brackets out, right? Or did you just? I saw those. Yeah.
Yeah, the brackets were released. I think I released them earlier this morning because the tournament does start tomorrow at noon.
Okay.
So what I did was it was really tough to try to come up with 64 women who like dabbled in being valets. So we cut it to 32. So what I did was we were actually spreading the first round of the tournament over 2 weeks, which I think it gives more people a chance to, you know, settle in. We're doing two matchups a day over the next 4 days and the next week, you know, the next 4 days, just to kind of spread it out and get people more involved. You know, if you're seeing it every day, you're more likely not to miss something.
Yeah.
Cause I know we've done 64 tournaments before, you know, sometimes there'll be like three or four matchups in a day and it's kind of hard to keep track. And like, you know, cause the feeds are constantly moving. We do get a lot of involvement. So kind of wanted to spread this one out, you know, for two reasons. So yeah, the brackets are out there now.
Yeah. It seems like a good idea. Cause I feel like every time I'm going through my timeline, I'm like, wait a minute, this is from a day and a half ago, you know, like whatever I'm looking at. So a lot of times, yeah, you got to give people time to catch up and see your posts, I guess. You know?
Yeah, if you don't keep hitting that most recent on the left, then you're just fucked. You're fucked all the way around.
Or if you're an old man like me and you don't even know to do that.
Well, listen, I'm here for you, man. I'm here to help you. There you go. So tell me more about this beer podcast.
Oh, I mean, literally. So me and some buddies, we would go to the bar every Monday and hang out. And so there was just a point where we were like, why don't we just, I mean, you know, we're just talking about shit. And we started recording it. And so initially it was on Zoom because we couldn't go anywhere. And then more recently we've been able to sort of meet up in like a park setting where everyone sort of is spaced outside, you know, to do it. But we take questions from people, you know, like, you know, stupid stuff. Most not, I don't mean to say stupid, but it's not wrestling at all. It's like, okay. You know, what's the, like, what's the best chicken sandwich in fast food or what's like, you know, would you rather
Burger,
you know,
King, hands down
the OG one, the long OG.
Oh yeah. You got it. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Also maybe the only, I don't mean to take, now I'm taking you guys off topic, but, Burger King chicken sandwich also like one of the only fast food items that I feel like is exactly the same as the first time I had it, you know, like,
I
same
feel like
size,
I,
yeah.
I had a time in my life where I literally ate that sandwich like four times a week, and like I felt that at some point they added like way more salt to it, but okay. Like that could just be like fast food in general. Like maybe they just do that,
sure,
to make you want to come back and want more. But I'm telling you right now, hands down, best chicken sandwich ever. I know Matt looks like he wants to chime in here as well.
Well, I know what Tony's gonna say because Tony lives and dies by the Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A is good.
Now, I've...
Well, Popeyes makes a damn good sandwich, too.
See,
I've never had it. I still haven't had the Popeyes.
Neither
so.
Have I.
Wendy's spicy spicy chicken sandwich, also very good. Top rated. You know who else makes a good one? They're hard to find these days because they hardly exist anymore. Roy Rogers Gold Rush sandwich. That's a fantastic chicken sandwich.
Okay. And do you remember Burger King... I don't know if they do anymore, but there would be like a time in the year where there would be, they would take that sandwich and it would be like, they would add like tomato sauce and Parmesan, or they would do like the French one that was like ham and whatever and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. They did like three different varieties. You're absolutely right. I forget what the other ones are, but the Parmesan one stands out, but yeah,
sure.
They used to do that periodically with three different varieties. Good stuff.
I'll put that out, man.
And Vince, just to give you an idea, before you joined us, we were talking about, what, animal has the most recognizable butthole. So we are literally all over the place.
Okay, that's good to know.
My cat is constantly, at some point, and I know you are a cat dad.
Sure.
At some point, my cat will jump on the table, and I will shoo her away, but not before she about faces and makes sure her asshole is in the camera's view. So.
And so is it your opinion that the cat butthole is the most recognizable?
From a domestic animal standpoint, yes, I think so.
Well, probably just because the tail is so routinely up, right? It's just a mere ability to be seen.
That's right. that's a factor that contributes to the viewability of the hole.
Yeah, and you know the pug. I've always heard pugs have problems with anal leakage, and I don't I don't know if that's true across the board. If I'm generalizing, but I heard that at one point. And I kind of swore off pugs to never maybe have one of those. But
a lot of pugs actually listen to this show, so we are.
I'm going to get myself screwed. In trouble.
it's not one of those deals where like you have to squeeze their glands every once in a while. Because I've watched
every dog.
We see. I've watched some of those pet shows, like the Alaskan Vets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they show those every once in a while. Ugh.
No, I mean, when you if you take your dog to the groomer regularly, like your dog's anal glands probably need to be expressed like once a month or something, as far as I understand it.
I love how it's
otherwise you get them dragging their ass on the floor and all that business.
Kind of like what Matt does.
I do it at least twice a day.
So that's what causes that. I never do that.
Yeah, I prefer the linoleum versus the hardwood floor. It's just more gentle.
Why not the carpet? It gets right up in there.
Because then I have to clean it, and I have to explain to the wife why. And I can't. There's only so many times you can blame the cat before she like. She's like,
rug
that's
burn,
a,
dude. That's the answer. Rug burn is the problem. Though.
Yeah, and then she's like, that's a 6-foot smear of shit. The cat isn't doing that.
Got to get yourself a Hoover, dude. One of those wet vacs.
We got one of those, but it's too, look, you know me. Fill it. I turn it on. It doesn't do it. I get pissed. I throw the fucking thing. Now there's water everywhere. It's a disaster, so.
Tony, I know I missed this conversation, but are you in like a screening room? It looks like you're just in a recliner surrounded by recliners.
Yeah, pretty much. This when we were getting together pre like the nasties was the studio, and I'm just kind of facing away from where I would normally be facing. So.
Very nice.
Yeah, Studio A is it's nice digs, man. Nice digs.
Yeah, but it's been kind of lonely the past year. You know,
we digress.
But that's what we love to do on this show.
It's a good point.
Now, Vince,
chicken sandwiches and cat butts.
That's it. Now, you're a man of many podcasts, Vince. How are you and Matt dealing with the pandemic? And have you gotten used to doing your podcasts over Zoom or Skype or whatever you guys are doing it over?
Yeah, and I think one benefit is that there's only two of us, so it's a lot easier with the Zoom. You know, because even when I was doing beers and that over Zoom, you know, it gets more difficult the more people, but. It doesn't feel really weird anymore. It's just like, you know, it's been a year of doing it this way and it sounds the way it should sound. And so I think we're just kind of more than anything is like him and I would travel to shows like regularly. And so not only have we not been at a live wrestling show at all, but we just haven't been on the road or anything. It's that's kind of the weird piece, but.
I didn't want to
ask you this.
Oh, sorry, Kev.
No, it's all right. In a world where it seems like anyone that's ever actually been in the business, and obviously we know the history of what you and Matt have done, how do you feel like podcasts, like we've been around for almost 10 years, and we still find it sometimes tough to stay relevant in people's rotations when you have, you know, the Conrad Thompson empire, and you have the everyone that has a podcast now that's ever been in the business. How do you find it easy or hard or either one? To keep yourself relevant in somebody's podcast rotation.
I ain't got no fucking clue, dude. I think we just like, you know, from the minute we started, it was just like, I don't know if anybody will give a shit or not, but it's fun and we're going to do it anyway. And that's like when Tom left, it was the same thing. It's like, do we keep going? It's like, well, we're going to talk about wrestling with each other. So we might as well just keep recording it. And so I think it's what it is just like, you know, I'm sure if you guys have been around for 10 years, it's like, you enjoy doing it. You have a chemistry. It's fun. And so then, you know, people are drawn to it and hopefully they tell somebody else or whatever the other mechanism is to like gain more people or bring more people to it. But other than that, just keep doing it is the only secret that I know, you know?
No, absolutely. Look, I say it all the time. Like, I'm almost 40. I know Tony's a little older. Like, I know a lot of people my age that don't get to see their friends. And I, you know, pre-pandemic, we got together once a week, you know, to drink and talk wrestling and bullshit and have a good time. And you know, no, you can't put a price on that when it comes to hanging out with your friends and just bullshit. And so the fact that my wife busts my balls all the time, she said, I can't believe people listen to you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because a lot, I feel like we get a lot of people who are like, I don't have any friends who are into wrestling. And so I sort of just listen and it's like, I'm, you know, involved in a conversation about it because I have no other outlet or whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense. We've managed to build a nice little community of wrestling fans that are very active with the podcast and in our Discord, and we've created a nice little community, and it's just an extra bonus. I didn't know about We Watch Wrestling until I was in the car with my wife, who was listening to your wife's podcast.
Sure.
And if you're not familiar, Vince's wife Georgia does My Favorite Murder, which is an unbelievable podcast. If you're a murderino, you know, but if you're not, you should definitely check it out. It's a fantastic murder podcast. But once I heard Georgia talk about it, I was like, I got to check out Vince's podcast. And I've been listening ever since. And that's probably been like a year and change now.
Yeah, we definitely have gotten a little bit of a rub from them, no doubt about it. You know, they got a couple of listeners over there on that one.
Just a couple. I left my phone on the table the other night after I tweeted you were going to be on the show, and Marty Hardstark retweeted, and my wife saw. She was like, what? And I'm like, you don't want me to tell you about my stuff, so I'm not going to tell you that Vince is going to be on the show.
Father-in-law is very supportive. He's a very supportive man.
That's so awesome. You guys started, like you said, just talking wrestling. Did you see that it would become as popular as it is? I mean, you guys were doing shows around WrestleMania time at the WrestleCons and everything.
No, I mean, I think, like I said, like we just started doing it, and it, like, you know, we don't really look at the numbers anymore, but because we're not like on a proper network right now, we kind of just do our Patreon and then we put our show out every week, obviously. But because there aren't ads to sell, we don't concern ourselves so much with how many people are listening. But it was just sort of, you know, casually growing. And I think the other part of it is just my sort of background in like hardcore and punk and doing shit yourself. So I was like, well, okay, it costs this much money to have a table at WrestleCon, so let's just do that and try to figure out if it ultimately is worth the layout of the money. And then just finding like a bar or whatever venue to just do a live show. And, you know, like, I don't think we've ever had more than 80 or 100 people at one of our shows, but that's not like how it plays online, you know. Like, it's like, oh fuck, they did a show at this fucking venue in Chicago, and then the mind is left to decide how big or small that venue was, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still a great time. We still made the money. We've always broke even or made a little bit of money, but I just mean to say, like, you just got to do shit, you know, and people will come or they won't, but you'll figure it out. Like, you know, when we do these shows in LA for our anniversaries and shit, a lot of times there's like 50 people maybe or something like that, which isn't like gangbusters, but it's still a fun room full of people who are there to see you, so it's always going to have a good vibe. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the conversation, Georgia was doing a different podcast at the time, but when I moved out here, and then Matt was already here, and Tom wanted to do the show, and they asked me, and I was sort of like, I don't know, why the fuck do I want to do this? Like, who gives a shit? You know? And then it's like, well, you know, it doesn't matter if it, like, those are the things I feel like that a lot of times work out, are the ones that you just do them and you're like, this probably won't be anything, but it's fun and whatever. And you do it. And then I think that's what sort of resonates with people, you know?
Yeah, we've done a handful of live shows in our tenure. And we did find that, as you know, we got on, as we progressed, they did get better. You know, you get more comfortable and, you know, more people come out, you've got a bigger name, so you get a little bit of a better crowd, and you know, you kind of figure out your groove, because it is a little different doing it live as it is, you know, opposed to just, you know, us just sitting around. What was that like for you? Like, you going out to do your first live show, were there nerves? Did you have a game plan? Did you figure, let's just do what we normally do? Did that
were you
work?
Drunk?
Did not work? Yeah. Were you imbibing quite a bit? Or?
You know, well, so this was still when Tom was on the show, and the three of us are all, you know, had been stand-up comics for years, you know? And so I think in that regard, it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of too much nerves about going on stage other than, like, for me at least, going, now there's two other guys up here. So, you know, I there was definitely times, I think, early on where I was like, damn, like, I don't, my whole thing has never been, whatever the reason I became a stand-up comic was never so much about, like, I need people to, like, look at me or pay attention to me. And this is nothing I wouldn't say to Tom's face or whatever, but, like, different people have different vibes. And so I think more than anything else, just getting used to at first, like, how much maybe those guys were going to try to go for a laugh rather than just doing our show. And we even had to have a conversation, like, as we started to go, it's like, look, man, let's just do the fucking show.
Yeah.
And the laughs will come because it's funny, but, like, we don't have to treat it like, because, you know, as a comic, you get on stage and you're like, okay, fuck, like, when's the last time somebody fucking laughed? You know, yeah. you're like kind of going for that. Yeah. And so, especially, like, the first time we went to New York, man, like, because New York crowd's different, and that's where we came up too. But because it wasn't a stand-up show, and, like, it was just a different vibe, and it, like, I think at first we were kind of like, oh man, maybe they don't like us or something. But anyway, yeah, that was a long way of saying, like, yeah, you just have to figure out, right, what it's going to be. And I think ultimately you just try to do your show.
And what you're saying reminds me a lot of stuff about long form improv. Cause I'm a comedian as well.
Okay.
Well, you know, whatever, give or take. and so, like, it kind of just, like, don't immediately just go for the laugh. You have to tell your story and be yourself, and then eventually it'll come to you organically. So to me, like, the live podcast is like that. But the only thing is, the live podcast is you have topics to, like, talk about. Like, you're there to discuss something, and if you don't get it's also tough because, like, you want to be funny, but you also want to get what you want to say out there. So to me, the similarities between live podcast, and I didn't think about it till you just said it, and long form improv, because I took classes at UCB like everyone else, and mm-hmm. and whatever, that is what it is. But do you see that correlation like I kind of do here now?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just like, but yeah, I think that ultimately, if you have some reason to believe that people are entertained by your show, and sometimes they laugh, or sometimes they're informed, or sometimes they're whatever, like, yeah, you just, it's not good to go up and then just be like, ugh, like, I, you know, you're just doing bits rather than just talking about wrestling and being yourself. But
yeah. No, that's spot on. I mean, sometimes here for, like, us doing this show, sometimes, like, I feel like sometimes the laughs help. Like, and if you just want to just shoot for, like, a laugh, and, like, you just want to chime in with a line, I think that definitely helps in terms of what you, you know, what you want to do. And you want to make people laugh at some point, you know?
Yeah. It's just different when people are looking at you, you know? When you're like, there's a room of people looking at you and you're going like, okay, this feels a little different. Like, you know, I haven't heard any response in a little while, but, you guys are all on the East Coast.
We're all Jersey.
All Jersey. Oh, okay.
Right on.
Dirty Jersey.
I spent
Taylor,
a lot of time.
Taylor Ham, Taylor Pork Roll. What are we doing?
Taylor Ham.
We're up North, man.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not down.
I spent a lot of time in New York, doing shows with guys like, you know, Mark Normand and Sam.
Oh, right on.
And all those guys, like, when I was, like, really young, and those guys were, like, they weren't where they are now yet. And it's just, like, insane to see where those guys are.
Yeah.
Joe Mackey, Michael Che, all those guys.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, Vince, I didn't want to tell you before setting this up, you have some big shoes to fill. Last week, we had Tombstone Jesus on the show. And I know what you're thinking. Okay. Fuck, man, Tombstone Jesus. But I think you're okay. But I didn't want to put the pressure on. Because Tombstone Jesus, easy for me to say. He was, if you're looking for an interview, my friend, he's out in Utah, fucking mountain metal pro wrestler. Tombstone Jesus is your guy.
Oh boy.
All right. Listen, man, I can only be myself. And, I hope when it's all said and done that I was able to provide something even close to what Tombstone Jesus brought to the table.
I think you will, because I listening to the podcast, I know you're a big New Japan guy, and you and Tony share a very similar love for Tanahashi and his awful fucking hair. His hair is atrocious.
Fuck off, awful hair.
This weekend, Castle Attack, his hair looked awful.
His hair was on point. I don't know what you're talking about.
I got a
about,
thing for guys' hairs. I don't know what it is, but his hair is awful.
Well, you're clearly off base. So I don't know what your thing about guys here is, and I don't know why you would bring me on here and then try to just insult me.
I'm not insulting you. No. His Tanahashi, different story.
Well, maybe, you know, definitely up in the conversation of the greatest of all time, and I could not be more excited that he has won another major championship, and he has gone on record as saying he intends to try to bring it up to the level of the IWGP, and I have no reason to believe that he won't.
Do you think that was New Japan's play when they decided to and we haven't really talked about it, but
they're merging the championship.
Yes, they're merging the IWGP Heavyweight Championship and the Intercontinental. They're going to make it the IWGP World Championship.
Right.
And Tanahashi said after he beat the Great Okan that this is his opportunity to rate. And of course, I mean, there's no better guy to do it. But how do you feel about them doing away with the IC championship?
I don't really care because I mean it's like less belts is better anyway. But the bigger concern to me or the question mark is RIP the question mark.
Yeah.
But is why would you fucking essentially bury Tanahashi for over a year and then put this belt on him? And you know, I mean, the thing is, it's still Tanahashi, and I have no doubt that he's got no dirt on him. He can fucking do whatever he wants. But it's still just strange that he just laid down for every single person in the company for about a year and then this. But as far as the belts, I think less belts is better. It's not a big deal to me that they would merge that. And then they still have the US, you know, which
I hate that belt. That is the grossest looking belt, I think. And that's saying a lot because there's a lot of gross belts out there. I mean, you just look at WWE, there was some dog shit for a while, but yeah, I don't like it. Now, yeah. If they were merging the US title into the IWGP title, sure, keep the Intercontinental belt. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. I'm happy my boy Kota Ibushi's champ, so can't complain.
Sure. And I mean, if you're going to have, like, I don't know, there's also something to be said for that old, you know, like boxing or even like kind of All Japan where there's just like the dude just like covered in belts, you know?
100%. But, yeah, I get that. I get that. But even All Japan wound up getting rid of the three belts. I guess, because they were using the old belts from like the 70s anyway. So those things were, you know, they've seen better days. But I do like that in the All Japan Championship, they have they paid umbrage to those belts by making like the side plates and the main plate represent those three separate championships, which was kind of cool. I mean, if you're going to go modern, that's not a bad way to do it. And I dig that belt. You know,
definitely.
It's got character. It's got history to it.
They should make the guys carry a giant trophy, though, too. They should have to just have a giant trophy with them wherever they go. If they have the belt, if they have the title, they just have to, you know, lug a trophy around.
Aside,
hey, Yano's carrying around his little trophy and he's having the time of his life.
I think it's broken every night, though. Poor guy has to glue that thing back together.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about New Japan, can I ask this question, because I don't always have a lot of opportunity to get this kind of feedback, but is there anyone sitting here that is that believes that Chase Owens is of any value, or that there's like how did he get his job? How does he keep his job? What's up with Chase Owens?
Oh boy.
I think Chase Owens is the guy that eats the pin in every six-man tag match.
Unless
he's in the ring with Yujiro.
This is true.
Right? Because, right. I mean, Bad Luck Fale doesn't get pinned a ton. You can't have General. I mean, he's in the fucking New Japan Cup again. I hate when he's in the New Japan Cup. And I hate when he's in the goddamn G1. I got to sit through a fucking Bad Luck Fale match.
But I still feel like there's got to be a guy who looks better, talks better, works better, who can also be in that spot and would, you know, like, think about all the guys who were in WWE who are just like just flounder, but they're like, fuck it, I got a job, kind of, you know. It's like not everyone is trying to fucking go for the you know,
how many of them are the Texas heavyweight champion, though?
Listen, I get it, but Chase Owens befuddles me, especially when he's like you know, him and Yano are like having a match. But
I think he's just there to eat pins. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think his work is terrible. I mean,
no, he's not terrible. He's not terrible, but he looks terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I took my shirt off, yeah. You guys would all throw up. So, I mean, I understand.
But you're not a professional wrestler. Listen, and that's why I feel like this is a situation where some of these things can be discussed. It's because if that's your job, then part of your job, and I'm not saying that everyone has to be shredded, but there's a difference, like, even between, you know, Eddie Kingston or Kevin Owens or whoever that doesn't have the, like, prototype of a physique, who you're like, yeah, but they kick the shit out of me. And I'm not saying I can't, that Chase Owens is like, I'm not going to kick my ass, but he just doesn't, there's just nothing going on there. Yeah, but anyway,
a guy like Eddie Kingston can make up for it when he opens his mouth and he tells you how he's going to fucking kick you in the face and then beat your ass and do that shit. Even if he doesn't look like the typical prototypical wrestler. So like,
But that's the difference with somebody like an Eddie Kingston or even a Kevin Owens, like, especially Eddie Kingston. Like, if you saw him, you wouldn't think, like, look at this slob, look at his belly. You'd still be like, this motherfucker can kick my ass and walk out with my wallet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a big difference there. So Eddie Kingston is an imposing dude.
Is Chase Owens not looking tough or what? I thought he was a pretty tough looking guy, right? Or no? Am I confusing him with somebody?
He just looks like a dude. Yeah. Yeah. Right? He just looks like a dude. Right.
Like rugged Ronnie Garvin. He had that like 1950s Superman look. Like he might've been a little top heavy, but you know, rugged Ronnie he's made of stone. Yeah. Don't give me the
hands of stone, baby.
The fucking Garvin stomp. I hate that. But you know, he could kick your ass. Maybe Chase Owens just looks like, you know, the dude who's playing Call of Duty on his Instagram all the time,
Isn't that one of like the downfalls where people have issues with wrestlers nowadays, where they just look like dudes? Or is that
Vince McMahon has that problem for sure with wrestlers?
Okay, so like who would be like the American? I know Chase Owens is what he. Who would be like the WWE equivalent of Chase Owens, who you just don't believe can beat you up?
Well, I'll say this, and it's like the thing is, I don't think Chase Owens and Sami Zayn's bodies are a lot different. Sami's a little more toned, but I think the difference is that Sami is like a world-class worker.
Yeah.
And a world-class talker. But I don't know if you put those two guys in a photo and chop the heads off, that I would always be able to tell. You know what I mean? Which is kind of weird to say, because Sami, I'm never like, why the fuck does Sami Zayn have a job? You know, but not that I came on here to body shame for the whole time.
No, please. I love this. I love this shit. I catch so much dog shit for actually bringing this stuff up. Like, I'm a hateful person, but I'm not.
Tony thinks fucking John Moxley is like mono or something the last month.
John Moxley looks sickly over the past month. I'm sorry.
He was sickly.
He leaned out a little bit.
Yeah, and he's got the tan forearms and the pale upper body. He wasn't shaving his chest. I'm like, did you just wake up or are you a wrestler, dude? What are you doing?
Listen, his wife is pregnant, man. He's probably running out to get ice cream and pickles and shit. He ain't got no time when he's home.
Are you really cracking
that Ray Paquette?
Don't you
so
dare.
Who else could we put in that category?
Jesus
of
Christ.
Come on. No, this is fun, dude. I'm enjoying this. This is all in good fun.
Tony, who else have the physique of a wrestler?
This was my top five list tonight, actually.
Oh, for real?
No. Every so often we do a top five list. That was just a joke. So no, it's not my top five list. But let's see. I'm trying to think. It's tough to go through because there's so many wrestling companies.
I want pick AEW since we were there talking about Moxley.
Well, I know Marco Stunt's going to get the dog shit beat out of him by Tully Blanchard Wednesday
night. And thank God for that. Thank God.
Yeah.
Vince, who looks better, Tully Blanchard or Chase Owens?
Have we seen Tully with his shirt off?
No.
Did I miss that?
Only in your dreams.
We probably won't on Wednesday either.
Why not?
Probably have some sort of shirt. You think he's gonna go shirtless on Wednesday? Come on.
Tully's an old man. So
that's the thing.
Yeah, that was
but he appears to be in shape.
The Rock and Roll Express don't look so bad with their shirts off, but they still wrestle with them on. You know
who was like that, like skinny fat, like
Janela?
No, Janela's great.
Yeah, but he's a little doughy.
But he usually he keeps it tan, you know. And in the immortal words of Arn Anderson, fat looks better brown than white.
Fair enough.
He still looks the part for sure.
All right. Well, while we think about skinny fat guys,
maybe we keep it moving.
Vince Averill here at Vince Averill on Twitter, at Vince.Averill on Instagram, at We Watch W Podcast on Twitter. Again, every Wednesday, 3:16 a.m. wherever you get your podcasts. I listen to it on Spotify. I'm sure you can get it on iTunes, Google Play. Everywhere. And then they have a Patreon, patreon.com/wewatchwrestling. $7 a month. They're doing watch alongs. If you like their Mid-South homework, I think they're doing world class homework this week.
Nice.
No, it was last week. And in fact, let me look right now. I've been chasing, not Chase Owens, but chasing an interview for this week that will hopefully be pretty hot if I can get this individual to continue to respond to me. They nice. Like started and then kind of disappeared.
Ah,
on me,
but, yes. Yeah. The wonder of booking a guest.
Yeah. Right.
It starts, I'll do it. And then you follow up and it's just crickets. Good times.
Yeah. What happened? Did someone tell you?
Can we talk about that a bit? Yeah. Like who was your biggest get and who was your biggest disappointment, and whether you couldn't get in touch with them or they kind of were wanting something and
just, well, see, it's a new development, the interview, because we don't really have guests on the show. Although, I mean, we've spoke at length that in the early days we had people on once in a while, Brian Alvarez being the one person that comes to mind who was a bit of a dick. Like when we couldn't get things going, like right away, he was sort of like, you know, tapping his foot and being like, come on, guys, what's going on? So I'll put him up there as a dick, but we haven't done, you know, this, the interview thing's been a little more recent on the Patreon. So we did Action Mike Jackson from Mid South, who also more recently was an Impact for a hot minute, like a perennial enhancement job guy, but the sweetest dude on the planet Earth. And if you guys call him on the phone, I guarantee you he'll be nice to you, no matter if you're calling to just talk to him or trying to book him or whatever, because on our show I was like, you got anything to promote? He's like, yeah, I got DVDs and shirts and shit. I'm like, oh, where can they find that? He goes, well, can I just give out my phone number? And I'm like, I guess you can. He's like, I don't have any enemies that I know. I'm like, all right, give him the phone number, Mike. So he's like, every time I've called him from the very first time, it's like, hello, and he's down to rap with whoever calls him. He's a good dude.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Didn't he do like, he did like Undertaker old school type shit? Like didn't he walk the ropes in like Impact when he did his match?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. And if you watch him in Mid-South and anywhere like NWA and stuff, like he's badass. And I've even like, I sent a question into Arn, like, what's up, like any memories of Mike Jackson? And like, the dude is universally loved because I think he just made everybody look good and could work his ass off, you know, but just never, he's not like a huge guy and he just sort of stayed in the spot he was in, but.
That's the job. That's how you get work. If you can make other people look good, you'll have a job for life.
No doubt.
Oh man. How do you guys decide what your homework is going to be? Like, why Mid-South?
Well, so it was sort of just happened because we were talking about the angle where Mr. Wrestling 2 takes Magnum TA as a protege. And that whole angle that builds to the turn and everything, which is incredible. So we just started we watched or talked about it. And then we're like, why don't we just, you know, at the end of each show, just quickly run through two episodes of Mid-South. So we've gone from, you know, I think we started in the end of 83 and we're already in 85. So that's how that happened. And then once we were trying to be like, well, let's add some more shit to the Patreon. We were like, okay, let's do a separate homework over there. So we just started the very first episodes of World Class that are on the network. And unfortunately the World Class stuff is kind of spotty, you know, you'll be going and they'll just miss a week or two that those tapes just don't exist, you know, but
what was it? What was it for you as that got you into being a wrestling fan?
I mean, I think just being a boy in 1985, you know, like basically just Hulkamania is happening and, everybody was in, you know, and so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was just playing wrestling on the playground and just being into it. That's all I know.
So what's your wheelhouse now? Obviously we covered New Japan, but like, is there anything here, WWE, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor, ML, like, is there anything here that excites you, or is it just the concept of talking about wrestling? Cause sometimes I find myself in that little conundrum where like, I don't really care about it, but I'll watch it. Is there anything like that for you?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, you know, it's like, so once I just became completely encompassed and my entire being was pro wrestling, there's been times like where, you know, I would read the Observer, but I wasn't even watching anything else. You know, I would just sort of keep up a little bit tertiarily. And so now, you know, I can't tell you the last time I watched Raw, yeah. But I watch on Wednesdays because both those shows are pretty good. I watch New Japan. And then from there, it's kind of, you know, if I see something, I'll tune into Ring of Honor, or if they're, you know, if it's like a match or something for MLW, but other than that, you know, it's like once my wife goes to bed, it's like, okay, now what do I do? Do I want to go to 92? Do I want to go to 87? Like, and then I can just find whatever old shit that I'm into, you know, but there's the product right now, like is not exciting across the board, quite obviously.
Right. So follow up, because we always compliment how wrestling is kind of in its like second boom. There's all these different places to work, and there's all these different places for the wrestlers to work, and there's so many different options to watch. Do you think that I always thought of it as a positive, but now I'm kind of thinking it might be a negative now, because there's just so much and you can't watch everything. So how do you feel about that? Like, because I literally just had this epiphany right now. I'm just like, oh man, maybe there's just too much going on.
No, I mean, I think it's that thing of subjective art form that I like to talk about. So it's always better that there's more of it, because you may be a diehard, you know, GCW guy or MLW guy, whatever. And I like this. And so the fact that all that stuff is out there is never a bad thing. I think the thing as far as talking about wrestlers is more that, you know, it's no longer about individuals. It's about like the company. And so I think it's a lot more difficult maybe for the boys to make as much money, or to, you know, there's some of that. But as far as being a fan, I don't think it's an issue, because, you know, it's that same thing of like, this is kind of an old example, but we're buying like some piece of electronic off of eBay and being like, fuck, this is like kind of expensive. Why wouldn't you just go down the street and buy? And it's because you have no idea, like, the scope of everyone who lives even in this country, right? So it's like the person who lives in bumfuck whatever is going to buy it for that, because they can't just go get it from wherever or whatever, you know? So it's like, so to try to like picture in your mind, you know, who watches what and why and how is like, it's beyond me, you know?
Yeah, I agree. That's actually a very good point.
Just my opinion, of course.
I mean, it does make sense, but like, I feel like just like every like TV network or every entertainment company is coming out with their own streaming device. It's like, God, what do I watch today? Do I watch, you know, Royal Rumble 1992 for the 8 millionth time? Or do I watch this brand new episode of Ring of Honor? I really like Royal Rumble 1992.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's hard. It makes it harder on the companies that aren't, you know, WWE or someone who has, you know, major TV, but yeah
I agree, Matt.
So we're talking to Vince Averill at Vince Averill on Twitter. I see you shared a couple pictures with our friends over at Violent Miracle of you at ECW shows. This looks like the Hammerstein Ballroom. Did you ever get to go to Philadelphia?
Yes, I went to the arena for Cyber Slam 99, Cyber Slam 2099. That was whichever one that was. That was the one time I ever went to the ECW arena as it originally was.
How was that experience for you being an ECW fan?
Oh, it was fucking incredible, man. It was awesome. And because, you know, the Cyber Slams, like, it was almost like a little bit of a convention the day before, where there were like some Q&As. And then the other thing I remember is so that Holiday Inn right down there by like where the Phillies play, like staying there, and that's where all the boys stayed. And I like getting up early to go home the next morning, and somehow finding out that like a woman had died like in like one of the rooms. It's so weird, because I never heard about this ever again. But at the time I was like, oh shit, this is not going to be good. And I remember Jerry Lynn was in the lobby and I was like, dude, what's up with this? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, this might not be cool, man. Like, like if it's like some woman died, like in one of the rooms up here with the boys or whatever. And, but somehow it never went anywhere. So, but yeah, that's my other recollection, but going to the arena, fucking incredible. And that was like, yeah, that was like, it must've been 2000 because it was, I remember it was like Lance Storm's like maybe last show or very close to his like last show.
All right.
Thoughts on professional wrestlers doing stand-up comedy / storytelling shows? I guess more the former than the latter.
Yeah, it doesn't ultimately matter to me, but I think it is. I prefer that if wrestlers will just do their storytelling shows, you know, because it's kind of like, you know. RIP and not to speak ill of the dead, but like when Screech from Saved by the Bell started doing stand up, and it was like, I just remember he would sell the club out for the weekend, and it was essentially people just coming to see Screech say dirty stuff, you know, and he was just doing this like, you know, fucking schoolyard humor, like pulling the mouth to look like a vagina and stuff. And it's just like, I guess it works, but it's that same thing of when, you know, I remember like we tried to get King Kong Bundy on a show that I used to book in New York, and his manager wanted some fucking crazy amount of money. Yeah. And we're like, okay, we're cool. That was going to kind of be more of a novelty, but yeah. I guess ultimately I don't dig on pro wrestlers trying to be stand-up. It's like Rob Van Dam is atrocious and he doesn't think he is. That's, you know, that's the bigger problem.
Well, he doesn't know he is because he's so fucking high.
Right.
Yeah. And Rob, I think Raven tried to tell jokes on our show too once, and I don't think I don't think he was very funny.
Yeah, so he wasn't even just trying to be funny. He was like actually trying to tell jokes.
Yeah, I think, and then like Tony asked him a question we had just asked him, and he was like, "I got to walk my dog," and he hung up on us. Oh. What, you did?
Shut up! I'm never gonna live that down.
Wait a minute! Now we're not gonna blame. Hold on, let's not blame Tony.
If
Raven's gonna hit the trigger just because a question gets repeated, then he was gonna hit the trigger anyway. That's just my opinion.
But we did manage to keep him on for another 20 minutes, so I guess he really didn't want to leave. I don't know. Whatever.
Did he say it's either me or Tony and then hang up, or no?
No, he's just like, oh, all right, listen, guys, I gotta go walk my dog, and then we were like a little bit of a panic, like, oh shit, we pissed Raven off. Actually, I pissed Raven off.
Like I feel like Ziggler and Foley really care about the art form to me.
Yeah.
So like I'll give them like a pass kind of. I don't care how good they are. So if like they get like if Ziggler gets a booking because he's Ziggler,
right,
then that's fine because he actually cares about being funny. Whereas some of these other guys are just doing it because
status. Of Ziggler, he did stand up on like maybe our very first live show
really
that we did. And I remember he like rolled up, and this is like, I don't think he had even really done stand up very much. He'd only done it maybe a couple times before this. So I'm not like shitting on him, but he was like, and I remember he was like very worried. Like, he's like, I better just do like my wrestling like jokes. And it's like, dude, what you don't understand is these people all are here to see you. And so that, in a stand-up setting is like, it's huge. You can get away with so much.
That's it.
And so he ended up just doing wrestling jokes, but it was like, no man, you can do whatever unless you're like completely, you know, abhorrent or just like mean on purpose. These people are going to be with you no matter whatever your jokes are. But yeah,
he was a judge for a roast battle at like the Stand. He didn't have to come and be like a judge at a roast battle. He just showed up and he came into the side room and shook everyone's hand, was cool. Like he was like I would be at a wrestling show, like, you know, going and shaking everyone's hand. He did that to the comics.
Right. Exactly. So, that's exactly right. He's very cool and respectful. Whereas like I've seen Rob Van Dam not only not be funny, but shit on the other comics. You know, so it's like, okay, at that point it's like, well, all right, you know, fuck off. But
Yeah, look at that. Learning something new, boys.
I think Colt does a good job, too. He's pretty funny.
Colt does as well. Because, these are guys who, like, are genuinely into comedy and want to, you know, are not showing up like, I'm this guy. So now, no matter where I am, this guy, I'm fucking sweet. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I'm in your world now, so let me just be cool about it and fucking do my thing, you know?
So you guys don't do a lot of interviews, you said. But you have a lot of interactions with a lot of professional wrestlers, it sounds like. Who's outside of Action Jackson? Do you have like a favorite, someone who you just always are just excited to see?
Just on like a friendly basis?
Yeah.
Like as a good dude. You know, Bateman from ROH is a sweetheart of a guy. Who else do we run into sometimes? It's funny. Kevin Owens is very cool. There was a night in Reseda when he, this is back when Matt was on the Pete Holmes show. And I remember he like leaned over the ropes after his intro and he points at Matt and he goes, "You suck on the Pete Holmes show. And so does Pete Holmes." but yes, he's a very nice guy. I'm trying to think who, yeah. I mean, I would say more. Brian Myers is a great dude.
I'm sorry, who?
That's Kevin's,
Brian Myers.
I'm not familiar with his work.
It's Kevin's boyfriend. You just
pardon me.
Touched the nerve. Forget it now. It's over.
Back that the other before Matt got sober, when we were at WrestleMania in San Jose, remember we rolled into WrestleCon at like 10 in the morning, and Matt and I were both fucked up already. And he's like, he sees us. He goes, "You guys are fucked up already at 10 in the morning."
The dear close personal friend right there, Brian Myers.
Right on. Yeah, I always felt bad for how it went at PWG for him, because he came in for Ebola right after he got released that first time, and I think it was him and maybe even AJ, and it just didn't go. It didn't turn out for him, unfortunately. But anyway, yeah. Brian Alvarez is the only dick in wrestling, as far as I know.
Attaboy.
Fair enough.
I'm playing.
You could add Jacques Rougeau to that list.
Jacques Rougeau. Oh, yeah, there are definitely some dicks. And there are some people who are just awkward, who are just like, whatever they're trying to be, it's just an awkward interaction, you know?
I completely understand. I think I'm one of those people, and I think I've gotten better at it, because I think the worst interview we ever did was the Matt Riddle interview, because I just couldn't get it together.
Mm.
It's a fucking disaster. Go back and listen to that. It's a fucking train wreck. It's literally a train. I was so excited to book him. We just saw him at Evolve. Like, yeah. It was awesome. And then it came and it was like, I was like, Humada. Dana White, UFC.
But let me ask you though, was he stoned to the bone though? Cause that's not going to help.
Was it worse than Brian Kendrick just waking up from his nap?
Calling in an hour and a half late.
Yeah.
He was not as high as the time me and Kevin talked to Moose.
Yeah, okay. Moose. Yeah, we got the liner to prove it.
Got no recollection of any of these.
That was a good one, though.
I think the toughest one, and one that I was really looking forward to, was Bobby Eaton. He had his documentary in the works at that point, which I don't think the thing ever saw the light of day, but nice guy, but not an easy interview. It was rough trying to interview him. And he even had the producer of the movie on with him to try to kind of help him out and move him along. But it was rough. It was rough, you know?
Yeah. It happens.
Not a bad guy. Just a rough interview.
Yeah. Just not super effusive in that environment.
So Vince, what are you guys at the stage where you are comfortable enough to maybe check out WrestleMania this year? Like go down there? Ooh, No,
I don't. I mean, I don't think. I mean, I don't. Are they? They're gonna do it, with fans. It seems it's fucking Florida, of course. But yeah. So I don't think Matt or I are like going to be hopping on a plane to go down there. And I also don't think we could sell it to our wives either anyway, if we somehow were like, oh, it's fine, we can do it. Even if I somehow got both vaccines before then, I just don't know, especially because of how down I am on the product anyway. Like I tune into SmackDown and I do like some of what I see on SmackDown, but it's a haul. So I think, so it's funny because we had already bumped we bumped our WrestleCon table fee from last year to this year, and then I think we're just going to bump it again because we're not going back down. They were supposed to be in LA, of course, but yeah.
Right, and then what, Dallas is next year, right?
Yeah, Dallas and then LA, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the way. I think WrestleMania is going to be two nights, and I think they're running it like the Super Bowl, where it's only going to be like 25,000 in the stadium.
Okay.
I think they're pretty much running, and I think that was a litmus test to see how the Super Bowl worked out and to gauge it from there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be over two nights. It's going to be, you know, as spread out as they can do it. So at least they're being smart about it. I mean, you know, it, like you said, not everybody's going to want to go. Not everybody's going to be interested in, you know, taking that risk. But, you know, for the people that do.
At least, oh, yeah, I begrudge no one. And I'm not even trying to say I know if it's safe to do it or not. I just think for us to, like, get on a plane and go and do this and do that. Enough. And the thing is, like, you know, we're probably going to try to make some money while we're there. So then trying to figure that out and. It's just, yeah, I think it's just more than we're looking to do, but I have no ill will towards someone who's going to do whatever they're saying is okay to do, you know?
Sorry, Tony.
I'm sorry. Just to follow up, but that's the funny thing that you mentioned it too, because like we sort of have given up on watching WWE week to week as it is. And Matt always makes a great point. You don't really have to watch the weekly shows to get dropped into a pay-per-view because they overproduce everything and you can catch up on the story just watching the pay-per-view itself.
And because of how bad the stories are in WWE, you're better off to just watch the actual wrestling match anyway, you know?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, because the matches overall have not been terrible.
Like, right.
You know, overall, the shows have actually been pretty good. We covered the Elimination Chamber, and most of the matches on that show were really good. Royal Rumble, there weren't too many complaints on that show. It's right. Just kind of, I did make a point to watch Raw this week only because they had the Papa Shango moment with Randy Orton where he was like spitting up bile and all that. So I'm like, all right, I got to fucking watch this. I got to see what's going on. To be honest with you, there was some goofy shit. Some of the matches I was scratching my head, but the main storylines, like the progression of the Miz with Lashley, the progression, not so much of the women, but the, you know, especially the main event, bringing in Braun Strowman, they made Lashley look like a fucking superstar. And that's sorely missing, you know, that kind of storytelling. I mean, look, they're doing the whole thing with Roman Reigns and this, you know, the tribal chief, that's good stuff too. And over the years, over the past year, they've been doing a lot of great stuff with the women's storytelling, like building up Bianca Belair, all the stuff with Sasha and Bayley. So you know, like watching Raw to see that storyline actually progress and be something interesting. Like I was in. I'm like, holy shit, Lashley's a monster. He's gonna tear the Miz apart next week. You know? So it's periodical. There's a lot of bullshit, but when they get something right, at least they know what they're doing for a short time and they can get you to the next point and you're like, wow, this is the good shit.
Right. I think it's just a matter of, you know, historically, at what point are you gonna feel stupid that you bought in, you know? Like, and that I think that's the bigger issue, is like they can get it going for a week or two sometimes, and then you're going like, wait a minute, the fuck is going on here, you know? And I'm not saying that, like, because here's the thing, because of how New Japan has been booked in the last however many years, when there's something a little screwy initially, I'm like, well, let me just wait because I trust you. And WWE has lost my trust, but absolutely, you can tune in at times and be like, oh, this is cool, I like this, this makes sense, whatever, for sure, you know.
Well, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of dog shit to be had on Monday nights, but
it just seems like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Like, I'm not going to invest like my time in this if you're not going to give me something great story-wise. Wrestling-wise, yeah, there's not a dog in that company right now, like, well, let's be honest. I mean, of course, but like, I mean, when you're Roman Reigns is like the best character in wrestling right now, as far as I'm concerned, and he's turned himself into one hell of a fucking hand. Seth Rollins, you know, Cesaro, like I'm a big Miz mark, so you'll never find me saying a bad word about the Miz. He's proved himself time and time again. Sami Zayn, Bobby Lashley, the Hurt Business has been probably the hottest thing on TV in like
Yeah, we're big fans of the Hurt Business. Yeah. Love that whole gimmick. So, love that whole story.
How many times are you just going to like lose me at the end of it? So
the stranger thing to me, and it's like, you know, last year going like, all right, well, it's a pandemic, but even so, we didn't know it was a pandemic until early March necessarily, but it's just like, it's been a couple of years since you're like, okay, the Rumble happened, and now like interest is way up because they're building WrestleMania and there's all these like cool things like germinating. And I, you know, unless I'm just in the dark about them, like, I just don't know what those things are that are happening right now where you're going like, shit, man, like they're building a Mania and it's going to be this match that I'm stoked about and this match.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because like the Edge thing just hasn't done a lot for me, but I don't know what else I'm supposed to be getting up for, you know?
See, let me ask you this. If say like a guy like Edge or a guy like Brock or even a guy like Cena, like never left and they were just still there, would anyone kind of complain about them being still in top spots? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's just the fact that they leave and come. Edge is kind of a different story because he was hurt.
Right.
And now he's finally kind of back. Like, would anyone really care that these guys are still the top guys?
Well, I think there's going to be people who would bitch about John Cena no matter what he did or does. That's just kind of been his lot. But, I don't know. It's like the people who want to complain are going to complain anyway. But overall, if the product is cold and if the story they're telling or the matchup they're trying to build isn't, you know, what people want to see, then I guess they're going to bitch. But I don't know. I mean, Brock is, you know, to me, I'm always interested in Brock. I'm not one who ever gets upset that Brock's around or Brock has the belt or whatever, because he's just like that Rumble that they did last year with him was incredible.
Tremendous.
To me. And
good stuff.
And when they put him in there with a smaller guy, it's always a good match. It always looks like he killed him. And the word on the street is he doesn't. And so I don't know.
Yeah. It's so tough. Cause you got a guy like Randy Orton who never left. And he continues to without 100%. Like, we always talk about recreating like yourself, like Randy Orton, to be honest, has never really recreated himself. Like he's just been Randy Orton, whether he was a good guy or a bad guy. And he's a believable world champion every single year.
Yeah. So, well, and a Goldberg is a different story too, because Goldberg,
oh, that's a terrible story.
Was, you know, he was something at some point, but he can't really do much. And it just like, that's a guy I'm like, no. I have no interest in Goldberg. Like, finally they let McIntyre just squash him. And hopefully that's it for me, you know, unless they're going to Saudi Arabia and they're going to plug him in somehow.
See, it's a funny thing about McIntyre, though. Like, McIntyre gets his big profile win against Brock Lesnar. And then he should have been a dominant champion after that. But then it's like, well, now he had a cup of coffee with Randy Orton. Now we've got the thing going on with The Miz. Like, I don't think they did him any favors by doing this kind of stuff to him. But then again, maybe they feel like the bloom fell off the rose with Drew McIntyre, you know? I saw him, he comes out with a sword now, and he stabs it in the stage. It's like, whose idea was that?
That's Vince McMahon's sword. His actual sword, and
off the wall in his office. No,
and he it is merely the whim of Vince McMahon. Like he's like, let's put him over Goldberg, and then who knows what weird little thing happened where he was like, no, we're going with The Miz now. It's like it's that sort of shit that will frustrate people, and does frustrate people.
And don't get me wrong, I'm in Kevin's camp. When it comes to The Miz, I love the guy. I would put him as like that second tier right below Randy Orton, where he's a good hand and he's going to be there forever and he doesn't hurt anybody and he never gets hurt and he always knows how to work a great match without going too crazy or getting too involved. Like when he cut that shoot promo on Daniel Bryan that time on that Talking Smack. He's like, I'm still here. You cried about your neck. This guy's gone. This guy's gone. Who's here carrying this company? Guys like me. And 100% correct on that.
I just think that it wasn't necessarily, well, who knows? I who am I to say? I don't even watch the show that much. But I just mean, it does seem like it sort of happened, even though he had that briefcase, like that it wasn't time for McIntyre to go that way as we go to WrestleMania. Because at this point, based on what Miz has been doing, you're going, so now Miz is one of the main events at WrestleMania. Whether you love him or you hate him, it's weird to me.
I said it. We're going to get the Miz versus Bad Bunny title for title. Ugh, it's going to happen. You.
Well, that's one night.
The 24/7 championship is going to be the premier championship on Raw. You mark my words.
Well, Vince, you and Matt talked about it on the latest issue that you guys put out last week. It doesn't feel – Miz's title win doesn't feel important if he's going to just cash in and lose it at Fastlane to Bobby Lashley. And then this is all just to get Lashley and McIntyre at Mania to put the title back on Drew. Why?
It's a weird – if that's what happens, it's a weird transition, and it's like who benefited other than Lashley being treated very well here in the buildup.
We always talk about transitional champions. This might be a time where we have two transitional champions in the span of like 2 months.
Yeah, it's a weird thing because it's a heel versus heel story right now where you've got Bobby Lashley just being the dominant monster.
I think the Hurt Business. I think he's baby now. No.
Well, if they're gonna put him up against McIntyre, they'd have to keep him as a heel. But
yeah,
I mean,
that's fair.
But I mean, even in the promo on Monday where Lashley was like, you know, MVP was like, you know, we did you a favor. Now you got to return the favor. Lashley's got the chance tonight, and that led to the whole thing. So it's kind of weird that they chose this time to cash in the Money in the Bank. And I think maybe looking at this, maybe it's just me with conjecture and thought, but maybe they're kind of getting tired of the Money in the Bank gimmick. I mean, they put it on Otis. Everybody loved Otis. And then they kind of forgot about Otis. And now what? Otis is the heel now with Shorty G? Like, I don't
know. Wait, Otis is a bad guy?
As far as I read, yeah, he's teamed up with Shorty G or whatever. Chad
like the Shorty G, like... It's program or something like that.
It is simply Vince McMahon. He just, you know, he doesn't. It's like today, no one remembers. Okay, well, what now? This makes no sense. Who cares? And they go, you know. So
what's
like
the fat guy doing?
Right. It's not like they gave all this thought to him and breaking him and Tucker up. And then what are we gonna do? Okay, well let's have him win the Money in the Bank. Okay, let's not. Let's. I don't like that.
Another important point, the build from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. We've got two pay-per-views in between now.
Yeah.
How do you let that happen? How do you let that happen? I don't understand.
Content is king, and they just got paid $1 billion for it. You know,
all right,
that's what it is. You know,
I can't wait. I'm counting the days till I can cancel my WWE network. Cause I subscribe to Xfinity. So I'm going to get Peacock for free, saving money and getting wrestling. That's aces in my book.
What is I don't fully understand. Like, is there just a day when it will switch? Do we know?
I don't know 100%. I know that March 18th was supposed to be the day, and I heard conflicting reports. Some people have said that the WWE Network subscription will automatically transfer over to Peacock, but I'm not 100%.
Well, when is Fastlane?
Fastlane is next week. Weekend.
Because they were promoting that it was going to be on both. They said that Fastlane would be on both.
Ooh. Well,
then it would definitely be the
because you would think,
ad version of Peacock then.
Fastlane will be March 21st.
So it is. It's definitely when the Peacock switch happens.
I think it's going to be both, and then the network will just dissolve.
Probably. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not disappearing for good. It's just disappearing in the States because, you know, everywhere else in the world that still gets the network is going to be able to get the network.
Okay.
Whatever. And they already have content on Peacock because I went down this Office podcast rabbit hole and I had to sign up for Peacock this weekend to watch The Office because I was like, I gotta fucking watch The Office now. And then there's like they have like Untold's on there. I think WrestleMania Rewind is on there. The Monday Night Wars are on there already.
There's like a Triple H.
Yeah, the Triple H Blowjob Festival is on there.
All their propaganda has moved already.
You got to start somewhere, Vince. I want to circle back around. So I got this theory on Tanahashi minus his stupid hair. All right. Jesus Christ. Are they telling a redemption story where he's going to ride off into the sunset? Like he's going to take the never openweight title. He's going to avenge the last year where he was essentially losing to a lot of people, elevate the title to mm-hmm. the second biggest title in the company and then have his swan song?
Well, see, there's, but the thing is, as banged up as he is, I think that what probably should have happened last year, or what can happen once he finishes up with whatever's gonna he's gonna do here with the Never, is just be that guy who is still fucking Tanahashi and can periodically put somebody over and have it mean something, you know. And he can do those six mans, those eight mans, and he doesn't have to kill himself, but he can still be, you know. So it's not, it's like swan song in as much as him, you know, being in the title picture under any real circumstance, or, you know, that he's going to be in a single on the Tokyo Dome or something like that, but certainly still around and helping in a different way, you know, I would think.
Yeah. It seems like they have a lot planned for the Great Okan, cause they just keep sticking him with the likes of Tanahashi and Okada.
Are his teeth filed down, or does he have some
mouthpiece?
Sort of
I think it's a mouthpiece.
No, it looks like he's got fangs, dude.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll have to take. We'll look into this.
We have to look at the Great Okan. Who do you like for the New Japan Cup?
Bad Luck Fale.
Fuck out of here.
You got Fale going all the way.
Ryan Myers.
I don't know. I did like the. Did you watch the Kenta Moxley match from Friday?
Yes.
Were you surprised by the outcome?
No, I don't. And the other thing that came into my head as I was watching it was just like, man, I don't care nearly as much about Kenta as I like. I don't think I've cared as much about Kenta since when he was in Noah before he ever left Japan the first time. Like in NXT initially, he's like, oh, this is kind of cool. But he immediately just looked way tinier to me than he ever had. And then coming out of there, and even in New Japan since then, the occasional like very good match, but I just don't like when I'm thinking of guys, I'm like stoked or what's going on with this guy. Kenta does not come into my head, but, and so I wasn't too surprised. I feel like Moxley, they're going to hold on to him, especially now with this, what's going on. You know, in a fantasy world, it would have been him and Moxley, or excuse me, Moxley and Tanahashi at the Dome this year, but that obviously couldn't happen. It didn't happen. But New Japan Cup, who are they going to go here? Who do they want to go with?
They're giving Evil and Tanahashi of buys in the first round. I was all in on Shingo, but then he drew Okada in the first round, so I'm like, well. Okada's fucking fantastic, but that's like a hell of a first round matchup there. And then
it's one of those New Japan things where I feel like if they have a hell of a match, it's not going to damage Okada. And they may do that to just be like, here's the kind of shit that can sometimes happen, you know? Or if they're like going to fucking really go with Shingo, it's like, that's a big win for him. And it's not like, oh, Okada sucks now because he didn't beat Shingo, you know? So
no, of course. Well, it seems like there's always a reason for the way New Japan books. Yeah. Like, no one saw fucking Evil winning the New Japan Cup last year and then winning the IWGP Double Championships.
Right. And so it is one of those things of like, you know, is the Evil experiment done? Are they going to go that way? Is the Sonata experiment done? Probably, but another possibility. I don't know. I'm just naming wrestlers.
The Sonata experience is very frustrating though, because he has these like there's very few. I'm like I said before, I'm almost 40 years old. Not 2 years ago at the G1 when he beat Okada, I was jumping up and down like a schoolgirl. I was so fucking excited for the story that they told. But then it seems like he gets that big match and he's constantly coming up short.
Yeah. So maybe it's his turn, but. I don't know, man.
Yeah, there's a lot because they did that weird. They had Zack Sabre sit in and call in the Ibushi. Who did Ibushi defend the title against first?
Sonata.
Yes, Zack Sabre sat in and called that match. So Zack Sabre Ibushi is, you know, Zack Sabre winning the New Japan Cup is not such a far fetched thing. Naito is got knees made of graham cracker. I'm even surprised he's in this. This thing, these guys are all fucking beat up. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember like this is back, maybe, but right before Nakamura came over. But we had heard that like him and Tanahashi, like when there weren't people around, like walk around like they're 80 years old, you know, that they were both already like really, really banged up. But it's, you know, it's a different culture, even in wrestling, I feel like, over there. And they don't like, they do the tours, but they do have some time to recover, and they utilize those multi-man pretty well. So Naito may be able to keep those pegs going a little longer.
Yeah. And him and Ibushi did not disappoint that main event. And I know that Ibushi's going to beat Desperado, but I fucking love El Desperado since he came back. And then that match with Hiromu, and then that triple threat was a lot of fun. Although El Phantasmo he's like Finn Balor 2021.
I've come around on him. I did not like that dude. But maybe I was getting worked. But I've come around to him, and I also enjoyed him on commentary there when he did a couple shows.
I told Kevin Kelly he's better than any of his partners.
Don Callis was legendary, but that's not a thing anymore.
Kevin Kelly does a phenomenal. They do a great job telling the stories too,
for sure.
On New Japan, and they got a bunch of the guys like Kento will be back for the New Japan Cup. So will Juice and David Finley. So, how do you feel about the Forbidden Door?
I don't know that I need a name for it, but I'm happy that these companies are working together. It's definitely going to be very cool once people can travel a little more freely. But I don't know why there had to be like an out and out name for it. And I'm pumped up for Revolution this Sunday for sure. Not so much for Shaq's match on Wednesday, but you never know. Maybe he pulls one out.
That's where you're wrong. I cannot wait. Jade Cargill is my favorite thing in AEW right now. I cannot wait for this match.
Well, it's the thing about it that seems weird, and maybe, you know, maybe something will happen where, you know, we don't see it, but like Red Velvet just seems like she's there to take a pin. Like it's just a glaring, like, okay, this is the person who's here to take the pin.
Red Velvet is our Chase Owens.
Did you see Shaq dressed as Chris Jericho? And you see that.
I think that's hilarious. I think there's one as him as the Young Bucks too.
Oh, really?
Nice. He looks more like a pre-Fiend Bray Wyatt in that getup, though. No.
Something is up. But yeah, I mean, I guess I shouldn't. Yeah, I'm curious. It'll be a sideshow attraction.
Glorious. But have you been following the women's tournament?
Not as closely as I should be. No.
Any thoughts on where we're at right now? I mean, you know, we've got the Japanese side sewn up, and we're looking at the finals of the American side.
Who came out on the Japanese side?
Ryu Mizunami.
Okay. Yes.
And we've got the finals on the American side. It's going to be Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose.
Okay. Well, hopefully Thunder Rosa comes out on that for me, because I just think she's great.
Yes.
But I also, even though they've done this whole tournament, I kind of hope that Shida retains.
Oh, really?
I have enjoyed Shida. But if not, I could do with some Thunder Rosa.
100% on that. Yeah, 100% on that. I really thought this was going to be a vehicle for Britt Baker, though. Mm. You know, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah.
To me, it can go like one of two ways. Like why do all of this if you're not going to crown a new champ? Or the best of all of your talent pool isn't good enough to beat your champ. So I could definitely see it going like one or two ways, but like, it seems like a whole lot of work just to not crown a new champ.
And she's had it for a long time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sort of feels like that's the direction we're going. So if that is in fact what's happening, yeah, I think it's Thunder, yeah, pull the trigger on Thunder Rosa.
And I think it's kind of telling too, because you know, when they announced Riho was coming back for the American side, you know, like a lot of people were like, well, they're just building this up to get Riho this big win, and she's going to beat Sheeta, and then Riho loses.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, maybe it's time that they're actually pushing for changing of the guard, maybe just go in a different direction. You know, things aren't exactly the greatest in the AEW women's division. I mean, I love me some Serena Deeb, And Thunder Rosa, she's like the greatest thing right now. I don't know if you saw her tribute. She did an independent show over the weekend. It might have been for Mission Pro, where she came out with the mask of the question mark with the Mongolian flag and everything.
Oh, I missed it.
So cool.
Oh,
yeah, they were really close in the NWA, so it was really cool to see her do that tribute.
Man, we went to last December. No, a year ago, December. The lost year to a power taping. They did the pay-per-view, and then we went to like one of the tapings the next day, and dude, question mark was over like Rover, man. He was the best.
And we interviewed Aaron Stevens what was it, around Thanksgiving time, and he kayfabed the whole thing. He was like, yeah, Josie, he's like, I've seen Josephus and the question mark together in the same room. So I was like,
yeah well, awesome.
Good stuff.
A couple ahead, things. Man. I want to finish the AEW talk, but then there's the talk of NWA coming back too. Exploding barbed wire death match. Where do you stand on this, Vince?
I'm okay with it as long as it looks like Kawasaki Stadium. Like, I just don't. Are they going to really be able to do that in Daly's place and on pay per view? In the United States, hopefully, but otherwise, I don't. If it's like some lesser or not that I want anyone to be hurt, but it really has to deliver. I feel like.
Do you prefer when there's an explosion when someone hits the barbed wire, or do you want the countdown clock?
If I can have both, I'll take both. But if I can't, then I'll take the explosions when someone hits the ropes.
I enjoy the suspense of the countdown clock. I want to say, I think it's, I think I, Hayabusa Onita, there's a, in a cage. There's one where like the ring's in the middle of a pond. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. Fantastic.
I just, I've said this, but I hope that, they move the gun club back to a safe distance. I don't want to lose any of the gun club to this goddamn thing.
You'd be the only one of the four of us, I think. I could do without Colton and Austin and Billy.
I mean, they're just too funny to me. I don't know what's going on.
You said you went to NWA power tapings a couple years ago. NWA has been kind of quiet. The pandemic definitely has hurt them. It's hurt everybody, but it seems like it's hurt them the most. But they did start taping United Wrestling Primetime. Right. And it looks like there's been a lot of hubbub this week about the NWA. They took all their content off YouTube, but they did say they're going to start taping again. And there's rumors that maybe someone bought the company, but it looks like the NWA is coming back. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm fine with that. Yeah. Like, I have no idea, other than that though, like did Billy Corgan sell it? Is it, I mean, I think they've already done that sort of throwback studio thing, so it won't be that, I wouldn't think. So I just really have no idea what we're looking for here.
I would kind of hope that they did go back to the studio. I loved, like, NWA to me was like must-see TV. I rented every pay-per-view, I watched every show when it came on live.
It was awesome.
And they brought so many names like to prominence. I mean, you look at Thunder Rosa's out there now. I mean, Trevor Murdoch was just Lance Cade's tag team partner in WWF. He made a hell of a name for himself. He had quite
Ricky
a
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, another guy. Zicky Dice. I fucking hated Zicky Dice when I saw him for the first time. I said, who is this idiot? Yeah. I fell in love with the guy.
L.A. Knight.
Dude, Eli Drake, when he came out drunk and he's pointing to the back of his jacket, and he's going, shoes of a champion.
Yes.
He's like,
yes.
Wait a minute. Did I just say shoes of a champion? Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, I really like that too. I like that format, but I think that they sort of saw a dramatic decline in the number of people watching it. That's why I would think that maybe they would try to go another direction. But for me, I love that format. And like you say, it was like you had to see it and they were making stars.
Yeah. 100%.
A lot of those stars though, they're not, they moved on. Right. I mean, sure. I think Thunder Rosa's still signed. But Kingston, Zicky Dice is gone. Ricky Starks is gone. I don't know what the relationship with Ring of Honor is, and the Beer City Bruiser and Malonis. I know Marty.
Seems like Aldis is still there.
Yeah, Marty was at. Marty
Trevor
was at.
Trevor
Murdoch's some
got the national championship. The Pope won the TV championship. tag team. You got Kratos and Aaron Stevens. I mean, they still got their champs around.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just got to build again from the ground up. And I thought it was cool, Circle Squared, where they were actually trying to bring other guys in. Like Nikita Koloff's got his Koloff family or whatever he calls his tag team. Those guys are pretty cool. You got Luke Hawks and his kid who tried out for it, you know? So you got plenty of talent that's like chomping at the bit to get it. And NWA is not bad exposure if you can get it. Not bad exposure at all.
Plus, if AEW has already gotten a favor from NWA in being able to use Thunder Rosa, what's to say that there won't be some favors? Because they got a lot of people in AEW who are maybe working dark, but otherwise are not working. So why not, you know, if it's safe to do so, why not like let some of those folks work NWA as well, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing about the NWA is, I mean, they had their high-flying spots, but they were more traditional, mat-based, you know, work the referee, work the crowd. So if you really want to get some guys and gals in there to learn some fundamentals, the NWA is the place to do it.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, and it looks like Dark this week has a lot of the CWN Championship Wrestling from Hollywood guys on it. Dan Joseph is on the show.
He's a talent. Dan Joseph is a talent and a half, that guy.
You know who I'm excited for, who's getting his second week in a row on Dark? JD Drake. I know, Vince, you guys talked about him. And I know me and Kevin saw him at Evolve a couple years ago. He's a hoss, and he can go. So I'd love to see him get a chance.
Yeah, but that's another guy who is a great worker, is a different deal. But I'm coming full circle. But I feel like if he was just a little less of a belly, if he just was like a little like, you know. But hey, that's just me and Tony talking shit. You know what I'm saying?
At least I get shit for it all. God forbid you say something bad about the King Chris Jericho. Oh my God.
They're saying something about him, and then there's you. You wish you looked like Chris Jericho when you were 50.
I do look like Chris Jericho, and I'm almost 50, so what's the difference?
Well, I'll say that Jericho is a numbskull. He's a wrestling genius, and I'll take him on a wrestling show any day of the week. But other than that, the dude has some real bad takes and gives a platform to some people who are, you know, spewing some bullshit. I'll say that. But
you know what? And I'll counter that with, I mean, people say the same thing about Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan's a fucking bazillionaire. So, you know,
again, it's my opinion. Obviously, you know, plenty of people listen to, and there is the other take of that is that he's merely giving everyone a chance to discuss their side of things.
Which is,
but
kind of commendable, I guess.
Yeah. He's the numbskull. But oh, here we go. Here we go.
There we go.
Cat
as advertised.
Three, two,
come on, Nelly,
come
on. Doing?
One. Come on.
Give it to us.
Nelly.
Let's see that butt.
See,
give it
got
to us.
Let's see that butt.
There it is.
Look at
Boom. And we're out.
You could cave dive in that thing.
That's it. That's the show closer.
The Sarlacc pit.
Jesus Christ. Without, never fails.
That's perfect, Matt.
Vince, another question. I got to ask. Really, Nelly? Not you. Vince, not Nelly. All right, you lay down right there. Yeah. As you can see, I have the wrestling memorabilia. Kevin has his figures back there. Do you have any wrestling memorabilia?
I definitely do. I don't, in our current house, I don't have a lot of area where I'm, I wouldn't say permitted, but it doesn't go with the other motif that's happening. But I have some very cool stuff. I have this painting that a guy did, right after Bruno died, of him with Superstar Billy Graham in a bear hug. I have a bunch of, you know, Japanese mags and newspapers and stuff like that. Obviously, you know, DVDs and photos and shit. But I don't do a lot of figures. But I did get that Bruiser Brody one that guy did, the junk shop, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Junk Shop Dog. He's,
So I have a bunch of stuff right now. It's mostly in the basement, but if and when we move again, I will try to carve out my own space to create something like you guys are working here.
Do you, when you need to take a nap, do you look at the Bruno bear hugging somebody? Because that's everyone.
Does it help me drift off?
That's no, another shot. That's like another shot at Tony, because he's a big, him and Bruno like share each other's
of Mr. 40-40, I might add.
He literally mentioned the two guys that have the most heat with us on the podcast, Bruno Sammartino and superstar Billy Graham. Like, because Billy Graham is Billy Graham is the Ogler, right?
Billy Graham's, he's a little handsy. He got a little handsy with my wife.
Oh, Jesus.
But my wife could handle herself.
Oh, no, it wasn't anything like super bad.
It wasn't anything
Me Too or anything like that. It was just super flirtatious and super huggy.
Like, let me take a picture with this young lady right here, and you know.
Well, that dude he's had so much testosterone injected into him, he probably can't even help himself, you know. Yeah. And then what did Bruno do?
Oh no, Bruno did nothing to us. We just hate that Tony loves him.
Bored the shit out of me.
Fucking dickhead. Oh boy.
I have every Tanahashi towel that they've made, pretty much, other than the new one where he's air hugging the world.
Sounds so epic.
Also say, Tony, dude, if you haven't checked out the Nerds, that clothing company, I've gotten a couple different Tanahashi shirts from them that are nowhere else that are awesome.
Yeah, nice. They have that fucking jacket that my man Gato's running around in is a sweet Switchblade jacket, and that sold out real fast. And I think they're doing the Switchblade retro like Hasbro type figures.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's in like.
Yeah, because if somebody deserves it, it's definitely the Switchblade, because he's the fucking greatest thing since sliced bread.
Look, I know he beat up your boy Big Tom the other night. Don't fucking cry about it. You want to know why? He's a fucking loser.
Matt. I do dig Switchblade. He's one of the only legitimate heels in wrestling right now.
Tony, hold on. I think I have a Switchblade figure right here, actually.
Oh,
that's the shark.
Oh no,
John Tenta.
What is that? Because Switchblade is what, he's fat or something? Or
no, Tony has a joke, and I'm really he didn't laugh at it. Is that he called Switchblade young John Tenta?
No, oh. I called Jay White deflated John Tenta. Deflated.
All right, well, that's a John Tenta figure. So fucking deal with it.
You watch your fucking
no mouth. Selling son of a bitch.
Things are breaking down, boys.
I just don't like these idiots like Jado and Gato and fucking, they brought back Dick to Go and all these other idiots that run around and constantly interfere in New Japan. I think it's overkill.
I don't disagree with the amount of bullshittery that has sort of come on in the last couple of years.
Jay White was such a fucking tough guy. Let him fucking fight his own battles. Why does he need this little prick at ringside all the time? I wouldn't if I was Jay White.
Were you guys at the Evolve when Togo made Chris Hero throw up? When he fucking did that, finishing that like senton off the fucking, and he like landed on Hero and Hero just rolled over and fucking blew chow. That was at the La Boom or?
Matt, yeah, were we at that?
We were not at that one, no.
That was also like Cody's like first, or one of his first like indie dates, I think, after he left WWE too, he was there.
You mentioned La Boom. La Boom is a great fucking venue.
Hell yeah.
I was there the night that Sonny Kiss won the Tier 1 championship, and I also called Penta Zero Mero's match.
Fucking idiot.
Oh. Fuck off.
I mean, he's good.
I was the greatest commentator New York City has ever known, and you guys constantly give me shit, and you don't even know what you're talking about.
Because nobody knows what you're talking about.
It's out there. You can find it. Everyone. No.
Unrelated to being upset with anyone or needing to walk my dog, I do need to go relatively soon. So I'm just putting that out there if we want to wrap.
For that was me, a very aggressive thumbs up by me. I didn't mean it like that.
I'll leave you guys to decide who pissed me off, okay? I'll let you
That's probably me.
Discuss
it's definitely, it. It's definitely Kevin. Kevin's a dick.
Sorry, I always think it's me.
Well, you're a bit of an asshole, but Kevin was kind of a dick tonight.
I'm like 8 White Claws deep right now, so we got it.
That's exactly why.
We gotta do something.
There we go. Monday night, baby.
That's it. Every Monday night. That's what we do. Fuck. We were talking about Jay White. Tony, what don't you like about Jay White? Besides, is this just Jado and Gato? The outside interference has been overkill with evil. It's been real.
Here's the other thing that used to piss me off with Jay White. He fucking denies wrist control. Who the fuck denies wrist control? He was doing that shit 2 years ago when he was the fucking IWGP champion. It's like, come on, dude. You're under control. You can't just fucking sit down and say, like, no, I'm not doing this shit anymore. Fuck Jay White. That's what I say.
Because he's a heel, man.
He's a dick is what he is.
Comes down to wrist control for Tony. Yeah.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be my call. If I was Jay White, I would always honor wrist control.
You're not, though. Not
wrist control, what do you have left? You have to rely on some fucking dickhead outside the ring to helping you out. That's what I'm saying.
How dare you?
Don't dare me. My hero is Bruno Sammartino, world champion for 4,040 days.
Hero.
Matter of fact, I'm kind of hungry. I could go for a hero right now.
Yeah, you and Bruno. Italian sub. You're fucking gross.
Hey, what can I tell you? You like Jay White, I like Bruno. I think
Jay White. You even said, you texted me this morning, the sequence to the end of that match was awesome.
It was. Tom should have fucking ate his lunch, though.
Well, Tom had bad ribs, okay? He got his ribs banged up.
I understand. It was good storytelling. Look, I'm not going to take it away from Jay White. Can he perform? Yes. Is he a dick? Absolutely.
It's the role he plays. He's a dick.
Yeah, you're being worked, Tony. You're being worked.
That's okay. Tom Ishii's going to murder him one day. Yeah. Now I'm going to be there to watch it, and I'm going to laugh. Love Tom Ishii.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
He's my hero, too.
Vince, you ever been to Japan?
Nah, man. Would love to. Probably would have gone this year.
That's a bucket list.
So we'll have to wait again and see. But yeah, I definitely would love to go.
That's next on my list. I think it's the only thing. I can't do PWG because they moved out of that. They moved out of the.
You can. It's not the same, but yeah.
But that's like going to see ECW in like fucking Queens. It's not the same.
Right. I think it's always too. I'm like, Tokyo Dome is dope. You can go to the shows and then, but the end of the G1 is always like the week, if not on my birthday. So I'm always like, well, maybe I should just go in the summer and then I can go to like the semis and the finals. But at some point I'm going one or the other.
Is that a solo trip or you work the, how you convince the wife to do that?
You know, I think she's down to go. I have to like make certain that she understands like that if I finally get there, I'm not going to be able to make a lot of concessions. I'm here to do X, Y, and Z kind of thing, you know.
Yes.
Yep. Which I'm sure she'd be cool with, but I just want to make sure that we're like on the same page as far as the amount of wrestling shit I'm going to be involved in, you know, or want to be at least.
The WrestleCons and stuff. We did the first one here in Jersey. Is it not fucking exhausting?
It is, but it's, man, I mean, it's always so fun. It's just a people watching extravaganza, and if you get put next, I mean, I don't think we've ever had a bad year, no matter what was going on. Like there was something happening right near us that was hilarious, or some, you know, some weirdo is pulled up beside us. So it is you certainly get tired. That whole weekend is just a nonstop, but it's worth it for the stories.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We did the first WrestleCon here in Jersey, and
the convention center in Sea Caucus.
Yeah, right. Jim the Anvil Neidhart with his shaved abs was right across the way from us, and it was hysterical.
That's funny. Yeah, I think he had some drug problems there at the end too. Unfortunately,
right? But those abs were shaved in. He looked fucking diesel as shit.
Listen, man, you gotta take some shortcuts at a certain point, perhaps.
I keep telling myself that. No one wants to hear it. Ugh. Don't yuck me. Vince, it's been an absolute pleasure, Vince. We appreciate you taking so much time out of your busy schedule to join us. At Vince Averill on Twitter, at Vince.Averill on Instagram, at We Watch W Podcast on Twitter. Follow them. Follow Vince. I don't have Matt's Twitter handle. My apologies. And I'll look it up after we take our break. Every Wednesday, 3:16 a.m., a new podcast drops. They're at like episode 391, so it's not like they've just started this. They've been around the block a while. They do great stuff. It's a completely different look on professional wrestling, and it's super fun. They're very funny, and I enjoyed it. And if you check it out and you like what they are doing, they have a Patreon, and they'll tell you all about it. But patreon.com/wewatchwrestling, $7 a month. They do watch-alongs, bonus content. They're working on interviews. They're doing it all. So make room in your wrestling queue and your podcast queue for We Watch Wrestling. Vince, anything before we let you go, friend?
I just want to say thanks, man. This was awesome, you guys, and I really appreciate it. And I hope that we can link up sometime, maybe even in person. Who knows, right?
Awesome.
That would be amazing.
I'm a vaccination boy. I'm in. Let's go.
Right on. Dosed. Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Vince, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your night. Be well.
Later, boys.
All right. Vince Averill. That was fantastic.
That was a lot of fun, man. That was like insane amount of like content we just got out of him and out of ourselves as well.
Well, of course, we're professionals and he's professional, so it all works out.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, tout it. You know what I'm saying? Put
I
it
like
on tout.
The way a plan always comes together.
Tout it, baby. Out. Do you boys want to do the thing and then we'll come back and we'll do more things?
Oh, yeah. I love the things.
Do we want to take a commercial? It's already 8:40.
I would. I got to pee, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm so sorry. I bailed mid-interview. I was literally going to explode.
That's all right. Then, when we come back, we're going to rip through everything else because it's fucking late.
Yeah, we'll just cover some news, some notes. We'll do some bullshitting, and then we'll wrap it up.
There you go. I like it.
But boys, we can't do anything until we do what we always do around this time, right?
What does that say? Back after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you can combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support The Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with The Shining Wizards.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Same mother and father.
Your room was...
Oh, we shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast. What's it called?
The...
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah. Well.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S.
It's all right. Good on you.
Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Salute, mate.
Take it easy.
It's with a K, you cocksucker.
All right, we're back from our break. And we're going to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And you can do that out there in listener land for as little as $1 a month. Head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. For $3 a month, you get our bonus content, our watch-alongs, 3 extra shows a month. For $5 a month, we'll plug your social media and your websites. $10 a month, you get a box of wizardry, and that usually includes t-shirts, DVDs, brawlers, wrestling magazines, stickers,
lots of goodies, lots
coasters.
Of goodies.
There's everything. Literally, whatever I can find goes in there, and it's well over a $10 value. And as you go higher up in the tiers, you get more perks. If you do $20, you get a bigger box of wizardry. So at this time, we're going to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards, flanked by Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. The other half of the Sign Girls, Christine Friesendorf, her tag team partner, Kathy Hummer. If you don't know, now you know.
Matt, sorry, not to steal Mark Peroni's gimmick. I think it's someone's one of their birthdays, I think.
Yeah, you put the cart before the horse, dude. We'll get there.
We got a birthday on the Shining Wizards Patreon producer list. Anthony Adani Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. Ryan Arthur over at Elementary Brewery, elementary.com. If you're in the North Jersey area and you want to support local businesses, check out Elementary, ElementaryY.com. Sean Toe, Sean Calejo, Ryan Schlong, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Catherine Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. Also host of the Wednesday night podcast here on the Shining Wizards Network that I will no longer be a part of after a couple weeks. With Kevin Gill. And she does Pick a Vinyl, which is a music gimmick that she does. She's a podcast whore. But she's good at it. She's a good podcast whore. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger. Mark Parloni. Mark.
Happy birthday.
There we go. Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. I'm sure he's thrilled with who won the American side of the AEW Women's Division.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
I'm not spoiling shit. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump, the only thing worthy of listening to on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, the Bergman, the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting. We actually have a real birthday. Miss Carrie Cowling. Carrie, happy birthday.
Carrie!
Her birthday as well.
Super excited to hear that you got your Shining Wizards t-shirt that you purchased from us.
Send pics.
Yeah, please send pics. Hopefully it's a very happy birthday, even though we're in quarantine. But do the best. Have a good time. Celebrate like you're 21.
She posted a little something, Ski.
And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercia Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, brother. I know what you guys mean.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows what we mean, baby.
All right. So what do we got to cover tonight? We got a lot of shit yet we got to get into because time's ticking. I don't feel like doing the show until
Tony, we got another 3 hours left, baby.
Do we have a lot to cover? I don't think we have a ton to cover. We covered a lot with Vince again at Vince Averill on Twitter, at We Watch W Podcast, and Matt McCarthy is at McCarthy Redhead on all forms of social media. And I believe he used to be a a writer for the WWE too. So a lot of fun insight on the We Watch Wrestling podcast. Something we didn't talk about with Vince, and I haven't really heard your guys' takes on this, so we'll talk about it. Paul White, AEW.
Well,
it's the Paul White. We can't do that anymore. It's the Paul White.
Well, we could still do it.
How do you guys feel about this? First of all, for so many people that have their finger pulses on the world of professional wrestling and spoilers that come out, what'd I say?
Finger
pulses. Finger pulses.
Finger
pulses.
Finger on the pulse of the business. Straight up finger pulse. Listen, he saves the breath. He cut right to the chase.
No, because I start to, when we start to go long, I try and speed things up. It's my own fault. I do this to myself. And the margaritas don't help.
Well, you did it.
There you go.
Nobody saw this coming.
No one. No, I don't think anyone anywhere saw this coming.
I listened to part of an interview with Ric Flair, and Ric Flair was like, I was talking to Paul the other just a couple days ago, and he didn't say a thing about it to me. So I don't know why he was keeping it under wraps, but yeah, no, literally nobody knew.
Part of me feels like it happened so fast, and he was just so upset about what his potential new offer could have been for his contract. So like, I mean, I don't think, so here's the thing. The magnitude of it isn't insane, but it's just his longevity with WWE makes it like, and his loyalty there and his, that's what makes it like knock your head off astonishing that he's going somewhere else and not, he might go back, but not staying with WWE is like mind blowing to me for him.
Yeah, I get that point. I don't know.
Yeah, like it doesn't move the rate. I don't think it moves the needle at all. But
no, I mean, and his worth, we'll have to see. Would I have pegged him for doing commentary on another show that AEW is putting it out? No, not in 100 years.
He's gonna work at some point. He's gonna be a wrestler again.
Look, if they give us that matchup against Shaq that we never got, I'm 100% down for that. Shaq moves the fucking needle for AEW. So if you got a Paul White, Shaquille O'Neal matchup, I'm there.
Is that sarcasm? I can't tell if that's sarcasm.
No, 100% I'm in. And make fucking Jade Cargill the referee, and I'm 1,000% in. 100,000%, Kevin.
Matt, your take.
I thought I said my piece Wednesday night on that show, but you don't have to tune into that show for much longer. You can get all your information here on the Monday night show. Well, just the clock's ticking. You know how it gets with me. The schedule gets busy, and then, you know, like, Kevin, you are the glue that holds this show together, right? I am the glue that holds that show together.
That's the biggest.
I got to laugh at that one, too, Kevin.
That's the biggest lie, and no one listening even believes that.
I don't know, Kevin. You got pretty good. I think you have better attendance than me and Tony.
Oh, no, I haven't missed the show, that's for sure.
Right, so you're the glue.
Yeah, but I don't – you guys do way more than I do.
But I said I don't see how this could be bad in any aspect.
Agreed.
But does that necessarily mean that it can be good in any aspect either? Or does Big Show just become another guy that went to AEW?
Look.
Well, Tony, if something's not bad, what is it?
It doesn't have to be good.
But it doesn't make it a negative. It either makes it an equal or a positive.
Do you, fine. Do you have a candy bar that like you wouldn't go out of your way to buy, but if it was in grandma's tray at the house, you would, you know, grab it and eat it? That's Big Show in AEW.
Sure. You went to bed Tuesday night and you didn't have a Big Show and you woke up and you have a Big Show and you're better for
it.
That's actually a way better analogy than I thought you were going to come up
with. You know, that's like when I go out on the truck and I do an event and we do like $400 in sales. Better than zero. We had nothing if we didn't go out.
But how much did you spend on sales? Or how much did you spend to get there or all that stuff?
Not much. Usually it's not much.
Yeah, it's kind of like, we did a live show. We broke even, but we had a good time doing it.
Like, I think a lot of people see it as like they did it on a Wednesday because they wanted to get eyes on Dynamite, right? You got AEW trending. You got Paul White trending. You know,
yeah, but didn't they announce it on social media before that?
They did it Wednesday morning.
Yeah, before Dynamite. No?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You get AEW is now on the tip of everybody's tongue.
Yeah, but so he wasn't on Dynamite.
But I bet you people tuned in, Tony. People who don't have their fucking finger on the pulse. They don't spend all day on Twitter. They don't have an awesome They don't have an awesome Discord like we have, where people are chatting it up.
Fair enough. The only bad thing that I do see is that there's another show AEW is giving us, which is not that second show that they've been promising for a year. So now we're pretty much staring down the barrel of four AEW shows a week. And if you put that all together with being the elite, with Sammy's vlog, that's an awful lot.
But those
lot
aren't
of AEW.
Look, you don't have to watch those shows unless you don't want to. That's not must-see TV.
Yeah, but a lot of the shit that goes on Dark winds up like counting for the standings, and they mention it every week, and then that's how you get like a tag team showing up, and they're like, "Oh, they're the number two tag team." Well, I haven't seen these guys before because I don't watch Dark.
Well, then you can go back and watch it.
Tony's that's a decent point by Tony, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's
and
not.
I agree with Matt more, but Tony's point definitely holds water.
You can also take that 2 hour Dark that seems like it goes on forever and split it up and make 1 hour that Monday night show and the other hour that Tuesday night show.
Fair enough. But my point being, there was a lot of wrestling that happened this week, and MLW wasn't even on for new programming. It was a repeat, so that was an hour I didn't have to watch. But still, if I wanted to watch everything on New Japan, which I didn't get to do, if I wanted to watch AEW, I tried watching Raw. I barely finished that today, and that's a three-hour show. Forget SmackDown. That's an awful lot to try to get through in a fucking week, dude.
No,
that's
and you didn't even mention Impact or Ring of Honor.
It goes to my point even more.
And now you see every company seems to have like a quote-unquote special like every week. So you have those as well, like where it's not just their weekly show, it's another event. Like Impact doesn't have a pay-per-view till April, but every, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks they have a special on Impact Plus.
Yeah. So now if NWA comes back, if MLW starts running more consistently, that's another 2 hours of wrestling I gotta cram in somewhere.
Well, this is the point that I kind of brought up during our time with Vince. It's like, God, like, is this it's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
It's a blessing if you try to watch everything.
Yeah, well,
it's a curse if you try to watch everything. It's a blessing if you know how to pick and choose what you want, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's what you look, we went from, when we started this podcast, we had two shows we could watch, WWE or Impact. That was it, right?
Yeah.
That was it.
ROH didn't have TV then.
Well, there was also Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Sure. Look, if you wanted to find something, you could find it. That's the thing. If you want it, you'll find it.
Yeah.
I choose to watch New Japan over WWE. I won't watch Raw. I won't watch SmackDown.
See, that's the one saving grace about WWE. You have three different brands to choose from. With AEW, everybody's kind of under the same umbrella, you know?
Now, and granted, Tony, to cut you off. To your point, Tony, it is impossible. For me, I can't watch it. I wanted to watch NXT. I want to watch Impact. I don't have enough time in the fucking week.
Yeah, no, exactly my point. It's tough. It's not a bad problem to have, but it's still a problem.
It's a problem to have if you feel like you need to watch everything. If you're a fan and you can just watch what you want, then it's not a problem whatsoever.
Look, if
it's like for people like us and Vince and all these guys that do
100%, exactly.
It's tough.
Kev, yep.
It's tough.
And I don't want to be like, "Oh, I'm just like the MLW guy." Like I want to watch everything that I can to participate and, you know, give my thoughts on stuff, but yeah,
especially if there's other things in life that you enjoy, like as lame as it could possibly be. Like if I enjoy,
it's not, though.
No, what's that?
It's not though, Kev. Like you like hockey, baseball season's right on the horizon for me.
Yeah.
There's only so much wrestling I can be like, babe. I'm gonna like last night. I was like, I want to watch this New Japan show. She's like, okay, I can do some beating. Like there's only so many times my wife
beating.
Yeah, you didn't see the Jim Ross she made?
You said beating. I was like, what the fuck is your wife?
That's what I thought you said.
No, beating.
I realized what you meant.
Like, there's only so many times I could be like, oh, can I sneak in a wrestling show? Like, everything else is like, I have to do it Monday. I have to do it when she's at work. I have to do it when she's not around.
Like, as lame as this sounds, I really enjoy watching the Michael Kay show every single day.
Oh, we know. We see the tweet.
And I enjoy tweeting it every single day. And
we know, we see the tweets.
I know. And if it's just something that I enjoy, as lame as it might be, it's something I enjoy to do. That's 4 hours of your day, you know? Like
it's not lame. not lame at all. But
so, I watched Impact. I watched AEW. I'll probably catch up. We'll probably be able to watch an hour and a half left of Raw. Maybe Bobby Lashley will be the new world champion by the end of the night. Who knows?
Oh fuck! I have to watch Raw again this week. Wow.
If NWA Power comes back, I'll watch that because I enjoyed that show.
I can't wait to watch it. I'll watch the shit out of NWA
Power. Some shows you just, and it's just like, oh my god, I forgot to watch like ROH. Like, oh man, I don't watch ROH. Like, it's tough.
Oh brother. All right, so that's our opinion on too much wrestling. What else we got, Matt?
Will see Paul White on TV this Wednesday night. It'll be the first time since January 11th. 1999, where he was on TV and it wasn't under a WWE banner.
Let's see.
My God, you know what that means? Whatever time he comes on, 30 seconds later, Taz is going to come out and go, brother! Because Taz fucks with the old WWE guys. That's what he does.
I want to see if Kevin can guess who he lost to on his last Nitro appearance.
His last Nitro appearance? I probably can. His last pay-per-view appearance was DDP, I feel like.
Wait. Don't. I want to say Lex Luger.
No.
No?
All right. Kevin, DDP, Starrcade 1998, you are right. Tony, his last dark match, he lost to Lex Luger in 10 seconds.
Oh, dark match? What was his last?
His last TV match was Kevin Nash.
Was that after he got powerbombed?
It was on Nitro, so go back.
It might have been like after he got dropped on his fucking.
Well, head. I mean, he may have gotten powerbombed, but it wasn't the powerbomb.
Lex Luger, how about that? I got one right.
Tony, I'm not gonna lie, pretty impressive. I knew DDP was his last pay per view match.
Now, was it the loaded forearm or was it the torture rack that put him away?
I didn't even know WCW Saturday Night did dark matches, so I don't know.
Wait! This is a Saturday Night. He said Nitro.
No, okay, everyone relax. Luger was a dark match on Saturday Night Main Event, and then his next match was his Kevin Nash loss on Nitro.
Oh, okay.
I was close.
No, you were right there, Tony.
In the ballpark.
You're right there.
So Monday night, starting next Monday, 7 p.m., YouTube, AEW Dark Elevation with Paul White and Tony Schiavone, but you won't be watching that. You'll be listening to us, so...
That's right.
You're not missing.
So now we're competing with three wrestling shows.
Dynamite this week is Crossroads. We talked about it before. The big Shaquille O'Neal, Jade Cargill against Cody and Red Velvet.
Can't fucking wait.
I'm actually pretty stoked about this, to be honest.
And then we got picks this weekend, boys, for Revolution.
Oh boy.
And it's a fucking loaded card.
This might be the wildest card I've ever seen in my life.
We have a casino tag team royale.
Oh, we're going through this now? All right.
We don't have to make the picks. I'm just going to go down. I mean, I'm pretty sure the card is set. I don't see them adding anything else.
But the go-home is always huge.
Yes. And this will involve a ton of tag teams. Bear Country, Reynolds and Silver, Evil and Uno. Evil and Stu Grayson, Ortiz and Santana, The Butcher and the Blade, Private Party, and Top Flight.
Where's the Acclaimed in this? Why aren't they in this? Do they have a match?
Your boy, Max Caster, is wrestling Preston Vance Wednesday night for a spot in the ladder match.
There's a ladder match?
There's a six-man ladder match. Winner gets the title shot at the TNT Championship.
Ah, that's right.
Is this a briefcase gimmick, or is this going to be like where you're booked at the next pay-per-view you're going to win? Or do we not know this
yet? They have not said yet. They have not announced all six participants.
Please, AEW, be better than this. Don't fucking have some jackass running around with a fucking briefcase. Come on. Be better. Be better. I have faith.
Hey, Karashita will defend her AEW Women's Championship against the winner of Wednesday night's match between
Rio Mizunami and whoever wins Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose.
I already know who won.
No. Don't do that shit. Come on.
Say it. Say it.
Don't do that shit.
I will say a lot of people won't be happy. No happiness there.
This is why the Wednesday night show hates you and why you're fucking leaving. This is why.
And now I'm leaving because I get paid to work, not fucking sit around and talk about fucking dark until fucking 1 o'clock in the morning.
You know, I seem to remember something like 49 weeks ago, you guys were like, oh, let's get together, let's do this, it'll be a fun time. And now you guys have sponsorships and you have commentaries and you have a Discord.
You know how long First of all, we have a Discord. They're just part of the Discord, so don't get.
I
that
understand,
twisted.
But they're an integral part of the Discord.
Sure, they are, but no. But 49 weeks is a long fucking time. All right.
Well, when you don't fucking know how to end a show, that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, you can't do 2-3 hours. You can't even do
Wednesdays are tough for me, man. I work all day. I come home. I shit. I shower. I have to eat dinner with my wife. Then I have to watch probably the last 20 minutes of Dynamite. And I bullshit my way through the fucking show like I did the first 5 years of this podcast talking about Monday Night Raw.
That's right.
For what? For my wife to be mad at me? For me to fucking go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning?
If I may volley against you, sir, there's no reason you should have a 3.5 hour recap show on a show that lasts less than 2 hours with commercials. And half of those commercials, they don't even wrestle through the breaks anyway. So come on, man.
But it's picture, Tony. It's picture in picture.
Yeah, we're going picture in picture for everybody at home.
Stay with us, restaurant quality picture in picture.
So yeah, unless one of those two can figure out how to fucking record a show, my time, my lifespan Wednesday nights is going away.
Well, I don't feel bad for Kate, because she has like 5 other shows now to fall back on.
Right. She's just using us.
Aunt Money's brother bailed on him. Now you're bailing on him. It's like, what the fuck? Is he going to talk?
God, Tony, the heat. You're looking at right now.
Aunt Money's brother, it's the writing was on the wall. Every podcast.
Squeezed him out, and now you're fucking leaving.
I didn't squeeze him out. Look.
Squeezed him out.
They got.
What happened to the other guy, Ryan Van Dam?
He's still fucking sleeping, Ryan Van Winkle. All right,
that's my gimmick for him, bro. All
right, look, they got the disclaimer when they signed up for a podcast with me. When life gets back to normal, I get fucking busy. My only day off is Monday. This is my number one priority.
What? That's why I love you.
He's like, I have to have dinner with my wife. Not like I want to have dinner with my wife.
No, it's nice to say. I don't want to rush through fucking dinner and. My wife is she's kind enough to let me do this bullshit 2-3 times a week sometimes.
Every day.
Wow, you got a couple of simps in the fucking Facebook chat. They're like, leave Matt alone. No, I'm not going to leave Matt alone. That's some shit.
Question.
What am I going to listen to on Thursday morning? Can you tell me?
I don't know. One of fucking Conrad's 900 podcasts. Yeah. Sure,
how about We Love
Wrestling? I already do. You guys are slotted in nicely when I get up in the morning.
You're going to listen to We Watch Wrestling, all
right? Oh, We Watch Wrestling. That's right. No, We Love Wrestling. We
Fair enough.
Like, what's a simp?
A simp is somebody who shows affection to someone for like no other reason than they think they might get laid, I guess. You never heard like Hossie in the Discord, he's always putting like I'm a Jade.
No, I know, but I don't know what it means. It's like when people are started using the term Stan.
Stan's like the male Karen, isn't it?
Stan is like the stalker from that Eminem song.
No, but Stan, I think, is just like the female, is like the male cat.
No, Stan is like the stalk, like all the fans are Stans.
It's also a great line in a Ben Folds song, The Ascent of Stan, by the way. Throw that out there.
I'm glad you did, because that was really weird.
Yeah, well, someone fucking tell it.
I've never heard of this.
Give me
Kevin is the glue.
Kevin is
the glue that ruins podcast chatter.
Someone tell us what a simp and a stan is, so us old people know what the fuck is going on.
I feel like I know what a simp is.
Stan is a Superman.
Stan
know.
Is a super. So what? He's in a fucking wheelchair. He can't ride a horse. Jesus Christ.
Wait, who's saying who? Well, who said simp? Why don't they tell us who what a simp is? Whoever said it.
All right, Young Bucks and MJF against Chris or MJF.
Perfect. Who, Matt? Who is your favorite Patreon supporter? That's a simp.
There who is my? I don't have a favorite Patreon supporter. I love them all. They're all fantastic.
Yeah, but you one more than the others. You kind of do. What do? He threw his notes on the floor. And now he bails on the show. What do you mean?
Is it Matthew Garifo?
I'm looking at the list of Patreon supporters. Can I put myself in there?
No. Don't read names out loud. I don't want to blow up anybody's spot, but you should know. Come on, dude.
Who's our simp?
No, forget it. Let's go. Move on.
Who do I want to bang?
Guys, I got a list here.
My wife.
Here. This is why shows don't fucking end in 4 hours.
Whose shows?
Joe Mama's show.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm pissed now.
The rails are not. We're not even off the rails. We can't even see the rails.
All right. You want to hear the rest of this Revolution card?
Oh,
Young Bucks against MJF and Chris Jericho. Hangman Page against Matt Hardy for the losers quarterly 2021 earnings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Keep going.
Team Taz against Sting and Dobby.
Yeah, wonderful. Keep going.
Miro and Kip against Orange Cassidy.
Oh, even fucking better. Are those assholes in the battle royal for the tag team gold?
No, they're in a match against each other.
Fucking idiots. Keep going.
That's the I just went through the whole show. And the barbed wire.
Oh, that's it? Beautiful.
And the barbed wire exploding match. There's like 8 matches we have to pick.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is going to be
On the Thursday edition of The Observer, AEW President Tony Khan said he was interested in Zelina Vega.
Highest rated episode we've ever done.
By the way, Carrie Cowling's in the chat room. Happy birthday once again.
Oh, Carrie, I'm your simp. Right? Is that what I am?
Yes. Yes,
simp,
you are.
Simp, simp. Everybody.
Simp.
All right, we talked about Dark. We talked about the women's stuff.
It was no MLW, so give us Ring of Honor real quick.
Well, guess who's backstage at New Japan Strong? Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
They got a tight.
I don't give a shit either way. I understand people are pissed off. I don't fucking care.
They
Whatever.
Got a tight lip on a tight lip on the information there. So who knows what his storyline is? There is a New Japan Cup USA style. With the first round match being Tom Lawler against DKC. DKC. The DKC. No, Dick to go. And Rocky Romero against.
Rocky Romero's taking on who?
Rocky Romero is taking on Leo Rush.
Ooh, kind of liking that one.
All right, so let me ask you this. MLW and AAA titles, are they merged or is Leo Rush just hold both of them?
I guess he holds both of them for now. They didn't really say anything about them merging, so I would say, yeah, he just holds both of them.
Okay. All right. That was literally just an off-the-wall question that I just happened to have.
Fair question.
Yeah.
If you watch Kenta and Mox and you didn't watch the whole show, watch fucking Dickinson, Ren Narita.
I got to go back and watch that. I did watch the Moxley match. Kind of surprised with the ending, but good match. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Dickinson, if you don't already consider what he's done blowing up, Dickinson's gonna be blowing up. Like he'll be a regular in like New Japan all the time. I feel like
absolutely.
And he still has that upcoming match with Mike Bennett for the United Networks Championship.
Yes, he does.
Pull out of mouthfuls.
Yes, he does. New Japan Cup is on the horizon. That starts March 4th at the 49th anniversary show. Ibushi defends his double championships or his one championship against El Desperado.
Idiot.
Ibushi. Oh, Ibushi. Okay.
Not Bushi. Ibushi.
Wait. El Desperado's got two belts already, though, doesn't he?
No, he was. I don't know why he does have two belts. Yes. He has the junior tag team championship and the IWGP junior heavyweight championship.
Yes, that's right. Hell of a triple threat. I did not see the tag title match though yet.
Tag title match is on Road to Castle Attack, but it's a good match. I know you got a shitload of stuff you want to watch, but
triple threat was pretty good. The way they told the story with his mask getting pulled off and shit, good stuff.
Big El Desperado simp, so. Right? No, Stan.
I don't know. Stan. Stan.
Do I stan guys? Do I simp girls?
Doesn't matter.
All right, we're doing it all. EC3 is signed to Ring of Honor. He is no longer a free agent. We have new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. If you have not watched ROH TV this week, Championships Week, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to turn off the podcast.
Beep, boop, boop.
All right.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Kenny King, it's not a spoiler. The episode's been out since Saturday, but I know a couple of our listeners.
It's not a spoiler. It's a fact of life.
I know a couple of our listeners don't get to it till later in the week, so I want to make sure they have time to tune out.
Come on, tell us.
Kenny King and Dragon Lee beat Jonathan Gresham and Jay Lethal for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships.
What?
They used shenanigans in a Pure Rules match. They used a closed fist. after Jay Lethal accidentally knocked Amy Rose out with a dive to the outside. The referee was distracted. Closed fist.
What kind of world are we living in pro wrestling where a closed fist is legal?
Roman Reigns
has been using a closed fist for fucking years now.
It's so bad.
And then that motherfucker Kenny King calling Kenny King out. He fucking turned his back on his little brother, Shane Taylor, and he fucking blasted him with a chair, helped that piece of shit Roosh retain his Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship.
Roosh is kind of a dick, no?
It was a really good match. And now Los Ingranobles, Faccionone, whatever, they have the tag titles, they have the TV title, and they have the world title.
They're like a modern-day version of the Four Horsemen, aren't
they? The foundation's coming for them.
Oh, fuck.
Hmm. Well, doesn't Shane Taylor and his posse have the six-man belts?
They do have the six-man tag titles.
Like that.
WWE announced they're kicking off a collaboration with the A&E Network.
Yep.
So we're getting Biography, we're getting WWE Legends, and we're getting Most Wanted Treasures.
Ooh. Is that going to be like vault stuff?
Yeah.
No.
Ooh. Wait, what?
Wait, isn't Most Wanted Treasures where they go to, like, super fans' houses?
Yes, Stephanie and Triple H do that, right? I remember reading about that shit a while ago.
Well, there's two different shows, because one of them was, like, the one where there was, like, merchant, like Andre the Giant's, like, boots or something like that. And then, like, Sheamus was supposed to be the host, but then COVID canceled that. So Most Wanted Treasures is, like, the treasure trove of, like, either super fans' collections or actual wrestlers' stuff that they own themselves.
The 9 episodes will focus on the two being Triple H and Stephanie, leading a team of collectors, superstars, and legends as they investigate, negotiate, bid, and travel across the country to hunt down and reclaim some of the most elusive WWE collectibles, like Kane's original mask, Ric Flair's butterfly robe, Andre the Giant's passport, and Andy Kaufman's neck brace.
I think Conrad owns all of those things.
They might as well just fucking put a tent out in front of his fucking house and just stay there for months at a time. Might as well. The fucking guy owns like half of pro wrestling. He might even have like fucking old ECW wrestlers in his basement. What's Perry Saturn been up to lately? I got him downstairs. He's chained up to my fucking radiator.
Basements.
They announced the largest group ever at the Performance Centers. Obviously, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Ty Valkyrie, Rick Steiner's son, Bronson
Steiner.
Bronson's all over the fucking jacked workouts on DDP Yoga, by the way. He's a big motherfucker. Just saying.
Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks is official for WrestleMania 37.
You see that shit? That's fucking jacked, bro, right there.
I haven't done yoga in about a week and a half because I fucked up my elbow.
Fucking too much of this or too much of this?
Not with my left hand.
Oh, you switch off.
I guess.
Too much beating.
Too much. I'm watching
Matt beads off.
Toni Storm is going to get her shot at Io Shirai.
Oh, wonderful.
On the March 10th episode of NXT.
So you should have said Io Shirai will be winning against Toni Storm on the next NXT.
Hey, you never know.
Kevin, what do you got from Impact for us? Anything good?
To make a long story short, I think the biggest takeaway from Impact was the rise and how much confidence they have in Jake something. It won the title match, table match, I'm sorry, against his former cousin Cody Deaner. And then, you know, Moose came out and beat him up, and then Jake something comes back and wants a match, and he gets a match later on. And I think they see a whole lot in Cody Deaner. Of course, the other takeaway, especially from a personal standpoint, would be the Matt Cardona, Eddie Edwards, Brian Myers thing going on there, where eye for an eye match, yada yada yada. But I think the biggest takeaway, and I'll leave it just at this because I think it's very important, other than like maybe like the women's tag match and stuff like that, is that Jake something is going to be a major player. And Matt, I know that you've expressed your feelings about how Jake is going to be a big star, and I agree, and I think this was the first step in that. And TNA World Championship is now a recognized title. So, and this is something that I never knew. Apparently there were plans to have a second show for Impact as well, where it was going to be Impact Wrestling and TNA Wrestling, both on Access TV.
That's crazy. See, I thought the whole reasoning behind the TNA Championship was when the belt was tied up with What's Her Nuts in Mexico, that they needed somebody to step up and be a champion. I didn't realize they were going to do two shows. That's pretty wild.
I literally read that maybe like a couple days ago and just was like, what? That's a thing? Like, I don't know if it's still, I don't know if it's still in the plans, but the fact that now Moose's TNA championship is recognized as the world championship is it's weird. Still under the same
Are they having a match for Rich Swann's title coming up soon?
Yes.
So if Moose wins, then I guess it's all kind of a moot point, maybe?
A moose point.
There you go.
unless it's not. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Maybe we got the Ibushi situation all over again with Moose. Carrying around two belts, saying he wants to unify them. I don't know.
Well, but again, Impact, fun watch. My favorite wrestling show of the week. I watch it every single week and I love it. And it's great. Like Fala's there, Johnny Swinger, Daddy, he's there. Susan, Kimberly, Deonna Prazi, the women's division is on fire. You have so much great stuff that I can talk about for a long time, but I know we're running late. So just a great show. Eric Young, Violent by Design, new t-shirt shot, by the way, which I will definitely be picking up. Rohit, yep. Like, come on.
Kev, I know you like talking about Impact, and since Matt's leaving Wednesday nights, maybe you can make it an Impact recap show. Just, you know, maybe.
Listen, I kind of am feeling it out. It's just that, like, Matt.
Listen, with Kate doing 5 podcasts now, I'm sure she could squeeze another couple hours in to do a 6th. I mean, she is a professional broadcaster.
That's a very good point.
You know, just saying. Matt, what else we got?
I guess we touched on it earlier, the unfortunate news of the question mark Joseph Hudson, known as Josephus, and the question mark.
That's a bummer.
It really is. I didn't look and see if there's any more news. I just know he suddenly passed.
I don't think there has been.
He's got a kid too. He's got a young kid too. It really sucks.
Well, the silver lining is they ran a GoFundMe, and it did not take long for them to crush it. Way over it. I know Nick Aldis was behind it, not behind it, but he was like tweeting it out there and pushing a bunch of other people. So I guess the silver lining, you never want to lose somebody in the industry, especially somebody this young with a family, but the wrestling community really stepped up, and as terrible as it is for his family, at least they can have a little security knowing that,
yeah,
you know, they can. There's the wrestling community gave back.
Yeah, and I think it's even more than a GoFundMe. I believe, I'm not sure if the two are related, but there's like a trust fund. There's something set up for him that might be related, set up for his kid. And God, so much. How much time have we spent talking about Josephus on this podcast? Whether it's
not really Josephus, because Josephus was a piece of shit, but the question mark was fucking awesome.
Well, no, but both. I mean, I think we talked about Josephus a whole lot, and just so much untapped potential. I don't even think he scratched the surface of how good he could have been.
What I did love is even when we had Aaron Stevens on, and he, you know, he played the gimmick up to the hilt with us. I've seen them together. Yeah, it's two separate people. So, and it's kind of cool. You don't. It's funny, it's tongue in cheek, but you don't see that kind of kayfabe. And if anybody deserved it, it was definitely him, because the question mark was over his shit. That was such a great fucking gimmick. One of the main reasons I loved NWA Power so much. I really
so loved it. So was Josephus. That's not downplay that. Josephus was
Was kind of a dick. I remember seeing him on NWA 70. I'm like, look at this fucking guy. He's coming out with Hollywood and this shaved head woman, and he thinks he's gonna fuck with Tim Storm. It's like, come on, dude.
Still funny.
No, funny, yes, but you know, he was a dick, and that was his role, and he played it well. So, not taking anything away from him. You ever see, there's video out of his celebration after he won the empty arena match with Tim Storm, where he's in the bar, and he winds up getting drunk, and he's, like, hitting on everybody? It's really funny shit. Yep. Really funny shit. If you can go out of your way to find that, please do. It's worth the watch. It's only a couple of minutes. Definitely worth it. But, yeah, rest in peace, Josephus, and rest in peace, question mark.
And I don't want to sound too harsh when I say this, but I hope they just don't ever bring the question. Like, he played the question mark. Just let's not have no stupid shit like that.
No. I don't think they would. I think the whole thing probably played its course when they did the JD Kratos thing. You know,
well, I think just mentioning that he was the question mark is enough to say that it's done. Just like when Matt Bourne passed away, they didn't say that Matt Bourne was doink. You know what I'm saying? So like, I think this is unfortunately a funny character, but, and I'm sure Aaron Stevens wouldn't want it any other way. Just let question mark lie with Josephus.
Glad to have known that character, because that character was a huge part of NWA Power.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Matt, what else we got?
All Japan Pro Wrestling's Champion Carnival Tournament takes place April 9th to May 3rd. I just wrote this down, copied and pasted, because I'm trying to, I feel like I need to know everything wrestling related.
So we're diving into All Japan now.
I'm going to tell you, I watched that match with Muda and Go Shizaki. I didn't think it was as bad as you thought it was. Muda definitely has lost a few steps. He did show signs of fire, a couple of things that were sloppy here and there, but not a terrible match. And I give him credit. He still knows how to tell a great story, and he did the moves when he needed to do them. Very surprised at the win, but I didn't hate it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't hate it.
What did you think of the commentary team?
The two British guys, they made it sound like it was...
One of them sounded Australian.
Oh, were they Australian?
I haven't the slightest idea.
They made it sound a lot more important than it was. There were a couple of times where it was like, I felt like they were pushing over the top. It's like, yeah, I get it. A couple of times also when it was like an important part of the match, they kind of seemed to downplay it. Whatever. I'm not invested in those guys, so I couldn't give a fuck.
Well, this is who's in the Champion Carnival this year. The AJPW Triple Crown Champion, Suwama.
Suwama.
Zeus.
Does Carnival have like a different meaning somewhere else? Because it just...
No, there's clowns and peanuts and acrobats. And
I think it's like their G1.
Yeah, the Champion Carnival? Carnival?
They used to call it the Carnival Tournament. Oh, yeah. Some shit like that.
The merry-go-round?
Kento Miyahara, Shuji Ishikawa.
Oh, yeah.
Matt just does this so he could try to pronounce names wrong.
No, Jake Lee. I got that one. Yuma Ioga.
Oh, yeah.
Shotaro Ashino.
Mm-hmm.
Koji Do.
Is Gabriel Kidd in this?
No, but Gabriel Kidd is in the New Japan Cup.
Oh.
Koi Sato.
Oh, yeah, the elite. Oh,
fucking Koi still around?
Shinjiro Otani.
Shinjiro Otani, I recognize. He must be old as dirt, too.
Sure that's not Koi Kingston?
No, Koi Kingston here. Ten men in there. Another wrestling news, Cyber Fight will be an interpromotional event taking place in Japan. Under this umbrella will be Pro Wrestling Noah, DDT, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, and Gon Bar Pro.
Gone,
Matt. I can't.
You want to go for a drink? Where'd you go? I gone.
I can't do this, Matt. I can't talk.
I don't know.
This?
I don't know the enunciation of Gon Bar Pro.
No, but what are the words that you are saying? I don't.
Cyber Fight is going to be like a super Japanese show where the GHC World Heavyweight Champion, Keiji Muto, the KOD Openweight Champion, Jun Akiyami. And the Princess of
Yama. These guys have to be so old.
Yeah, they're both pushing 60.
Jesus.
And the Princess
Akiyama was my go-to virtual pro wrestling 2 guy.
And the Princess of Princess Championships will all be defended at the Super Show taking place June 6th at the Cyber Fight Festival 2021.
Great. More shit we have to hear about in the Joshi chat.
Oh, are we doing picks or what?
Kelly Klein is suing everybody. Tony's buddy Kelly Klein, old donut hole, as
old
he referred to
donut
her.
Donut belly.
Oh,
she's suing Ring of Honor. She's suing Sinclair Broadcasting
and
Delirious and Jay Lethal.
And Jay Lethal.
Koi Kingston too. I heard.
She's seeking $75,000.
Hold on, I can't do that. I can't laugh at that.
I'm
in love with her.
And then I guess the last note I have, it was noted this past Saturday on the Dave Meltzer Report that Jim Crockett Jr. is in grave condition.
You know, it's really sad. The only saving grace out of this is that somebody like Conrad stepped up and actually got a great interview with him. It's only available on the Patreon, I guess, ad-free shows or whatever.
Adfreeshows.com.
But he sat down with Jim Crockett Jr. for like 6 or 7 hours. And all that audio is going to be out there. And I know, yes, he's very sick right now. And, you know, who knows what the consequence is going to be. But we need things like this to preserve the past of wrestling. Like, where else are you going to get fucking 6 or 7 hours with Jim Crockett Jr.? You know what I'm saying? Like, how would you know what the stories about what's going through his mind as things happened? You know, you always hear from the boys or, you know, some of the talent, but you never get a good perspective like that.
Didn't he get he did something with Jim Herd too, right?
Yes.
A couple months ago?
Yeah,
he did.
Godfather.
Stuff. God bless Conrad Thompson, and, you know, prayers and thoughts for Jim Crockett Jr. Cause that sucks. That's awful.
Next week.
Oh boy.
Otto Von Clutch, the son of Tombstone Jesus, joins the Shining Wizards at 7:15 p.m.
Did Tony just oh fuck Otto Von Clutch?
He did. I don't know why. He said, first of all, the message he sent me was, I got better Wi-Fi than my shitty old man. So I was like, done. This kid's booked.
Here's the problem. Like, look, I'm sure Surfboard Otto is a good guy. However,
he's going to bury him before he even joins us on the show.
Hey, he's talking shit about his old man. And I follow these boys on social media, and they got some recent pictures together doing some stuff out there in Utah. They look pretty chummy to me. Yeah. So I don't know what he's all pissed off about his old man about, but we got to find out. We got to get some answers.
We're going to have a lot of questions next week for Otto Von Clutch.
That's all I'm saying. We need some answers.
We'll get them next week, buddy guy.
All right.
All right, you guys got anything else? I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I have a list. No, we're not going
to
do that.
What do you got? Save it. Give it to us real fast.
You want
to
do it?
Let's do it.
You know what?
All right.
Let's do it. But, Kev, I got to do it right. Hold on. There you go, Kev. The floor is yours.
Oh, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, over the history of professional wrestling, there's always been people that change their gear, and it kind of makes you go like, oh, man, like that's not who I know. That's not like the guy that I love watching. So this is a tribute to that. These are top five, and we're not talking about totally revamped gimmicks. These are top five wrestlers who have changed their gear from something, from style to other styles. So we're saying like maybe from like trunks to tights or singlet to something else. That just changed their gear, and you just never saw it coming. And when you did, it took you a while to get used to. So this is the list, boys. Gear that was changed by a superstar that you didn't really expect.
And this covers all promotions?
Yes.
Why is Matt laughing so hard?
I can't wait for Tony to be outraged.
Why? Do you know the answers?
No, I don't. But I know you're gonna say the first name, and then you're just gonna throw yourself back in your chair.
Huh.
Again, I don't want to say these aren't like total, like, you know what? I'll let you guys just go. Let's just roll.
All right. I'll start. When Triple H changed to the biker shorts.
Not on the list, Tony.
Wow. Fuck this.
Again, this is good. You know what? That could be the biker shorts were because he was hurt. So I don't really count that. It was more protection for his groin issues.
Yin yangs.
Macho Man going from the trunks to the long pants.
Matt, you got the right guy, but you got the wrong switch.
Wait, what did Matt say? What was Matt's answer?
Jeez. Matt said trunks to long tights.
I say to
long. This is obvious now.
And the shirt, no?
Yes.
Is that it?
Oh, we're including the shirt too.
I'm not including the shirt in that.
Wait, you're not?
Tony, your answer is right.
The shirt.
The shirt.
He's not including the long tights.
I'm not including just the switch from the three stars to the tights, only because I was a baby boy when, you know, he was wearing three stars. So
and there were parts of his career where he wore the tights with the shirt, and then there were other parts where he just wore the tights.
And then this is actually twofold. Actually, when he goes to WCW, goes back to the tights. That was very bizarre as well. So Matt, I mean Tony, that's number three on the list. Savage from pants to shirts and pants, back to pants again.
Ooh, well, I got one.
Well, it's not your. You got one. It's Matt's turn. No,
I just went.
All right, you
want to
go?
Okay.
Go ahead,
Tony.
The Ultimate Warrior going from trunks to a singlet.
That's an incredible guess that I didn't even think of.
Oh, Kevin, come on.
No, Tony, that would be on this list if I thought of it. So no, it's not on the list, but great, great job.
Andre going from trunks to a singlet?
No, sir.
All right.
Some of these are going to be fugazi to you, I feel like. But
to whom?
I think one is blatantly obvious. I think actually two are blatantly obvious. One or two, I'm probably going to need to nudge you a little bit.
Cena going from tights to jorts?
No, because Cena wasn't that over when he was in tights.
All right, fair enough.
No one was invested enough in Cena yet.
Mm.
One of, all right, you know what? I'm going to give you a hint for number five. Number five was part of probably the greatest, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And you would see him shopping in Hot Topic. And then when he turned heel for the, whatever, fourth or fifth time, he changed his look. That's a hint for number five.
Oh, no, it couldn't be. No.
This is not a guess on number five. Hogan going from the red and yellow to the black and white.
Tony, do you have any music available at all right now? No, you don't. Okay, that's no problem. I'll sing it. I'll sing Matt's praises because Matt, that is number one. Hulk Hogan, red and yellow, all of a sudden wearing long tights. Like, who would have ever thought in our wildest dreams you would see that as a wrestler? So, yes, Matt, that is number one. Hulk Hogan, from trunks to tights.
Wow.
Number one. Tony? Matt? Or I guess we'll take anything at this point.
Is this all W? Wait a minute. Oh, no.
One more is WCW. One is WWE. No, the last two are WWE. Number two is WCW. Number four is, actually, I probably should have switched that. Number four is WWE, and number five is WWE.
How about the Legion of Doom switching to, like, the half trunks?
God damn it, Tony. You're naming every single one I forgot about.
Jesus.
No.
My list is crushing better than Kevin's.
You're Tony, you should have done this list. That's a great answer. Technically, Hawk still wore tights, so.
Surfer Sting into Crow Sting.
Alright, this is a terrible list. No, that's not on there, man. Alright, WCW is one of the big main event guys in the latter years of WCW, who was a big time star, but in mid-card and tag team ranks. Again, these are just the ones that resonate to me, so I don't blame you for not necessarily getting them. And then four is a guy who will be in the main event or in a big time tag team match.
But it's not gimmick changes. It's just aesthetics.
I mean, the character change, but it's not like Undertaker going from, you know, dead man to dead man walking. You know what I mean?
So it wouldn't be like Devin Storm to Crowbar.
No, it wouldn't. One of them is part. Actually, two of these guys are brothers tag teams.
Is it Devon going from being Devon Dudley to the Preacher?
No, that's a completely revamped, different person. So I did not. I thought about it, did not include it.
Bubba Ray going to Bully Ray?
Nope. That's a different, again, a different person.
Billy Gunn, the Ass Man, to Billy Gunn, the One.
Nope. All the same type of gear.
This is why we don't do the list.
This is such a good list, though. All right, you know what? I'll just read them, and then you guys will understand.
Stunning Steve to Stone Cold.
No.
Zack Ryder with his half leg tights going.
Stop it. Number five is Matt Hardy. When he turned heel against Jeff Jarrett and started wearing those long, like, purple and blue tights. And all right, so that
yeah, I've got no recollection.
Barton Church. I think this one you guys will kick yourself for. Chris Jericho going from long tights to trunks.
Later on.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there was no that didn't look weird to you guys when he started wearing underwear.
It did. Yeah, no, you're right. It did. It took some time. I wound up getting used to it, of course. But yeah, you're right. Because he wore long trunks for long tights
for his entire career, and this is the second. And number two is the same exact kind of thing. It's from long tights to trunks, which is Booker T. Harlem Heat forever. With long tights or even the singlet.
Oh, no, that's fair. That's a good one.
The only one that I probably could have left off for like any of the six that you mentioned, Tony, was Matt Hardy. Hogan, Savage, Booker, Jericho. Matt Hardy I definitely could have left off. But it just resonated with me seeing him wearing actual tights after wearing like JNCOs for like 20 years or whatever it was.
Yo, your boy Braden's shitting on your list.
Who?
The Bergman?
Yep.
This is why I can't do that shit. This is why I can't do.
No, he's having fun. He's the one that was hoping that we were going to start doing games again because he was looking forward to the games. He said it's his favorite part of the show.
Oh, he's a great Nelson. He's a great Twitter follow and a great Twitter guy.
God, Kevin, relax. It's not that serious.
It's serious.
He's just having fun. He sees Matt getting all fired up.
Oh, Matt, no, he's not fired up. He's just sitting there like a. With his DDP.
Right, fired up is wrong. Dejected might be the correct word.
DDP, his DDP freaking wrestling buddy has more energy than him right now.
Yeah, Matt's deflated.
Wow, I feel good. Just, I'm hanging out. I gotta go make a dinner next.
All right, so I guess we're gonna be wrapping it up, aren't we?
We got Otto Von Clutch next week. Big thanks to Vince Averill at Vince Averill on the Twitter machine, at Vince.Averill on Instagram, at We Watch W Podcast on the Twitter machine. We Watch Wrestling, if you throw it in whatever, any search engine that right. you listen to podcasts on, it'll pop right up. New episodes every Wednesday at 3:16. Check them out. They are much different than us. They don't necessarily dive into every promotion, every subject, everything, but they're very funny and entertaining, so check them out. And Otto Von Clutch next week. Tomorrow.
Valet 32 kicks off. Round one, part one begins. We've got the First Lady region and the Sensational region this week. No, wait, strike that. Go the other way. The Fallen Angel region and the Original Diva region. 16 women compete this week. The other 16 women compete next week. Facebook, Twitter, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 12 p.m., 2 p.m. East, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each poll is up for 2 days. Vote. You can vote once in each spot. Pass it around. Our tournaments are always a lot of fun. I'm hoping this one's no exception. We're looking for the greatest valet of all time. It's the Valet 32 coming to you.
Not wrestler, valet.
Hey,
valet, please. Yeah. So get that out of your mind.
These things, you know how they always turn out, though. You know they're always going to turn out differently than what we expect them to.
This is going to be a tough one because if you think about it, when you get down to the final four, it could be a lot of debate.
Well, I kept it at 32 just to, like, you know, get it down to, like, that core. Yeah. So this way, I'm hoping a lot of the matchups where you might think is a sure thing are not necessarily a sure thing, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So.
Some of the first round matchups could be the toughest ones.
Yes. And if you subscribe, I have the preview out for you on the podcast. So it should be in your feed now. Give you a little background information on the first 16 women in the tournament. So all that's there. And there you go.
I listened to it this afternoon. Very informative, Tony.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoyed.
You did a great job.
I didn't stammer too much, did I?
Solid 22 minutes to spend my day.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
That's it.
All right.
Follow us all on social media.
At Wizards Podcast. See you, Freakazoids, next week with Otto Von Clutch.
Oh, yeah.